Let's get started.
Here we go. Now let's get it all in perspective. We did it like that and now we do it like this.
Do not attempt to adjust your dial. I'm transmitting live, yo.
Let's get down to business.
Now let's get it all in perspective. We did it like that and now we do it like
this. Right. To the underground world, every street and borough.
You may learn something.
You are now listening to the Joe Rogan Experience with Chico, Simon, Kamar, and your host, Matt Floyd.
Welcome to the Joe Rogan Experience. My name is Matt Floyd, joined as always by Kamar.
Welcome to the party.
And Simon.
Hasta la vista.
What we do here is very simple. The three of us have listened to every episode of the Joe Rogan Experience this week. We're going to rate each episode as well as the week on a scale of 1 to 5 Jamie Vernons. We're then going to talk about each guest, the talking points, give our opinions, this, that, and the next. But first, Kamar, do we have any new patrons to go over?
Oh, thank you so much for tuning back in, guys. Join the Patreon, hottest up-and-coming Patreon in 2024. This week, a big shout out to French Noble.
French Noble!
Just being themselves and...
French Nobel.
Claudia Arvizu. Claudia Arvizu.
You, just so everyone knows, like, you haven't really joined the Patreon until Kamara's butchered your name.
I would love to know what that name really is. Arvizu?
Arvizu? Arvizu, sorry.
How is Arvizu? It spelled?
Claudia Arvizu. I don't want to dox them.
I don't think that's doxing them. But okay.
Either way, shout outs for joining
Thank
the
you,
Patreon.
Claudia.
Big
we really
ups,
appreciate
big ups.
It, whatever your last name is.
Leave a comment. Get the algorithm out there. Like and subscribe. Hit the notification button.
Come on, how was your week?
Well, like I was telling you guys, I think I had the best day of my life.
Because you won $1,700?
Well, no, just this year, we had a great podcast.
Actually, it was awful.
It was awful.
Not a good podcast.
You called in sick. You had just got off a plane. It was pretty cool that. Then I went and did a show, watched the Lions won. I won money at the casino.
Like, how is everything coming up, Kamar?
I stopped eating any
sugar.
Yeah,
he's doing all the right things.
No, but that's not how it works.
It does. And the fasting is the 3 days of hardship, but you can do it, right? You can go 3 days without eating.
I fast 3 days all the time.
But do it on purpose and just do it with intention. And then that 3 days, your mind remembers how to say you're going to do something and do it. It's just a little.
So my mind will then be like, dude,
but if
you
said,
know how to go to
I'm
the casino,
do something
go
yeah,
there.
He's making it. This is killing me now. Enough.
No, but you know what? You knew
gave
this
me the
was
floor.
Hold on.
I.
We also knew this was going to happen. Like, it's with everything. The meditation, the fucking.
The meditation came and went. I could get back into that, be a little more mindful.
Dude, came and went.
But this is different because it's eating and it's just like a regime that you just stick to. And in that moment where you want to eat something, you just say, I'm not going to eat it.
We're so lucky he's not vegan. He'd be fucking insufferable.
No, I'd be weak and feeble.
And insufferable, for sure. That was your week then? You won a bunch of money at the casino and...
I did a show and had a couple too many drinks after it.
You?
And I picked a fight with the cook and he body slammed me and like fucked me up. And he was much smaller than me. It was playful. But.
Okay.
He's been apologetic ever since. Because he, you know, when you're trying to wrestle with someone and they just get very serious very fast, it was over in a number of seconds. And it was a humbling experience. And now, like, I think I broke a rib. I might have thrown me off a table or something, but it was pretty wild.
Yeah, you're too old for that.
And so, yeah, I came to that realization and it was good. Good week.
Simon, how was your week?
This podcast is becoming harder and harder to do.
No, look at him. He's got his ears pierced. He's got his fucking... Kamar's like a...
Go Lions.
He's trans as fuck. This guy's fucking LGBTQ as shit. Look at him. He's got a ripped shirt. He looks like he works at like a record store in Seattle.
If
they louder
win,
milk
if,
over
if,
here.
If the Lions do win...
louder milk.
If the Lions do win, I'm fucked.
If the Lions win, because you're going to go on a bender of all benders.
Well, no, I have to paint my nails for the rest of my life. I mean,
they were winning long before you started painting your nails, pal.
But they've won all those games before. Now
he's secretly been painting his nails.
We're new territory, but for sure special occasions, I'm painting my nails.
I hate him.
No, this is where the world's gone, dude. Like, see gangster black guys with nails like that. It's crazy. You will. It fucks me up. I don't understand.
It's cool, man.
Like, when I grew up, gangster black dudes were just that, gangster black dudes. Yeah. Now they're wearing, like, tight designer jeans and have painted nails. It's weird as fuck.
It is weird.
They'll still fuck you up, but whatever. Simon, how was your week? Are the deer still a problem?
Well, I started throwing snow at them with a shovel.
No.
And that seems to have worked really well.
What is their nuisance, though?
Being alive. And I don't want them on my property. It's private property. Do you not understand this?
Like, go find another way around. Yeah. Fuck faces.
It's too big to fence in.
Yeah, I mean, like, the lady who lived there before had this, like, deer fence thing. But it's just, like, what's the point? Because then there's open slots that you'd have to be pretty stupid. I mean, they are pretty stupid.
What if you have, like, an 8-foot Bigfoot? Like a...
Like a scarecrow.
Like, exactly.
A scare deer.
Yeah, they're not afraid of me, who's alive. Why do you think they'd be afraid of the scarecrow?
Oh, he's got a good point, though. Maybe get like 4 inflatable cougars.
I was just
going to
say bear, but...
Yeah, they do have, like, you can get, like, a coyote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll work.
Well, if you could rent it or borrow it and return it.
Anyways, I like at least now I can do something and they'll get the fuck away. Because otherwise we're just staring at each other.
You know? I'm worried they're going to attack you.
They're definitely not going to attack me. They're so stupid. I could walk right up and punch them in the face.
How could,
like, I'm being 100%
serious. How could
something
so majestic become such
a nuisance? I could
just
come and punch it right in its stupid nose and they wouldn't even move.
You know what's so funny, Kumar? It's like, I feel like a lot of people that would move out to where Simon moved out to would do it to be like, look, a deer. Like, there'd be an Instagram story every morning of like, look, another deer. We've named them.
Well,
Benny. Hello, Benny. How's your morning?
I see Simon. A YouTube channel. And the deer's of the star.
Simon punching, not even Simon punching deer.
Not even you. Just have one camera that films the deer as they come and go.
It's a selfie. He's like, this is day 384 of me punching a deer. He just walks out.
You need a producer.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I could have quite the television show.
It would be ironic if you, of all people, became like internet famous and rich. Like, Simon all of a sudden is making 40 grand a month off his YouTube channel.
I wouldn't even be on it. I would just show the deer and I'd have one of those AI talking things.
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
This is the deer on Simon's land.
No, not even. It would, dude, you could be nonsensical. Like Edgar Allan Poe once said.
Yeah, it's true. It could just be poems.
That's, I'm telling you. Have the fucking Le Laissant Particulaire playing in the background.
I watched that Netflix rugby.
I didn't see it.
It's like the tennis or the golf or the whatever. Yeah, it was really good.
Rugby's the best.
What a crazy fucking sport. Oh my God.
Those guys to do that.
Those guys are fucking mental cases.
And the one thing where I say it's over the top of football is they play offense and defense.
Yeah, they do it.
Yeah,
there's
Iron
no
Man.
Specialists.
Iron Man, yeah.
It's really
it was
serious.
Cool to like learn a little bit about it and just like it's neat. It only focused on the Six Nations Cup, which is Italy, France, and then the four.
Zealand, Australia.
No. The four English. England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland.
That's the Six Nation? So they leave out all the best nations?
For this. This is just to find out who's best in Europe.
I love that when you're too tired of losing to people. So you're like, you know what? Start our own fucking competition.
Yeah, something like that. But like the All Blacks, I'd like to see one where they show that. That's so cool, man. The fucking haka is the best.
The best.
Legendary.
The best.
Also, I used to complain that it would start and stop a lot.
Yeah.
Rugby, because you don't know the rules. It's offside
but
to him.
Football.
But they get but football stops.
Oh, my
stops
God.
Way worse.
It's incessant.
Sometimes I kick off the ball, and the guy receives it, fair catch.
And then it's 5 minutes.
And it goes
until,
to commercial.
Yeah.
No one called a timeout.
I don't even understand the fair catch. Like, I thought the whole point was if you're in trouble, then you. Now it's just every time.
Well,
do they ever run it back anymore?
Yeah. Yes,
well, they're going to change the rule next year.
I find there's very little running back.
Well,
there's
punts,
a lot more fair catches.
Punts, they run back. Kickoffs usually go out the end zone.
It's because, Simon, they move the fucking kick forward. So now
move it backwards and let's get some fuck. That was an exciting part of the game.
I agree.
Watching fucking Rocket Ishmael just...
Devin Hester.
Or people just get destroyed.
Or get destroyed, sure. Oh, some of the hits in that rugby show. Oh, fuck,
no pads,
man.
No pads.
First of all, their ears are worse than like UFC fighters.
It really is crazy to just be out there padless, just like, let's fucking wreck. Like, those are big boys. Those are fucking... Oh,
it's...
Dude, they're
it's
nuts.
Nuts.
They are crazy,
man.
As fuck.
First of all, everything that's happening in the scrum, that is just a recipe for disaster. That's not even the hits. That's just guys body on body, no pads. Like, sorry, I got to put these on. I feel like I'm yelling. Body to body, no pads.
Well, now you're just whispering. Do you remember the do you remember when the XFL started? Do you remember what kickoffs were like for that?
I'm they pretty sure run.
Kamar does. Kamar remembers, yeah.
Did they have to run and grab the ball?
They just
ball
put the ball
first?
At the 50-yard line, and it
like
was
like you would do in like elementary
yeah.
school.
Yeah.
No, it should be the shuttle run though. You got to go back, come back, come
oh,
back.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. Is there really? I'll see every now and again clips of like women in.
Yes,
lingerie playing football.
League.
That
yeah,
really exists.
They're up
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That's and they go hardcore. It's arena style.
Yeah, there's some big hit. There's some surprisingly
tackle?
Yeah. Oh, there's yeah. some surprisingly
oh,
big
bikinis
hits.
Bikinis go flying, dude. But they're but it's not smutty. They're really playing football. Just someone is mandated
oh, no,
that they don't
smutty.
Wear a one yeah. a onesie. They wear just and they're all fit.
And then I watched that the new season of that autism dating show.
Oh, love on the spectrum.
Love on the spectrum, yeah. Which I like. They could never have made that show a couple of years ago. You know what
oh,
I'm
I think
saying?
They could have made that show in droves a couple of years ago. It no. could have been called Retards Fucking 15 years ago. What are you kidding me?
Maybe that's what they called it and had to wait. Yeah.
It just, I don't know if the world's ready for
they
this
were just, show. They were just stuck on that name. If I can't name it,
yeah,
Retards Fucking,
this
we're
nothing.
Not doing it.
That guy died. They just took the idea. Yeah.
There's no branding opportunities without this name.
No, I really anyways. Think, Simon, I'm surprised they didn't make it years ago.
No, I feel like now it's like so accepted to be autistic or in some cases mentally mm-hmm. they're not always autistic
yeah,
they're
yeah.
like on the spectrum you
yeah,
know what
yeah,
I mean
yeah some of them have Down syndrome don't
yes,
they
yes exactly so they have autism
you can still say
and
down
syndrome,
I'm pretty...
my theory is that's what American Idol was they Go said on. It they said it was a singing contest but they were just always looking for the
oh they were always looking for a few
socially stable
in there.
People
yeah.
just to exploit.
Well, for the first four episodes, yeah.
She bangs that guy.
Oh dude, cheap bang
you remember
cheap
those
move.
People more than you remember the people who won.
Yeah.
How's your week, Matt?
I was so ill all week.
From the turbulence? Or something ate in America?
No, who probably knows? He like, you know, you get sick when you fly.
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, the terrible day of flying and then coming right here to do the podcast.
You did have heat stroke.
It could have been a plethora of things.
But that's what I'm, is sunstroke
maybe.
Or heat stroke?
Okay.
Because that is a flu-like sort of thing that just makes you feel beat up.
Heat stroke's tough because it never got over 20 degrees.
Listen, Dr. Hargadon just diagnosed yeah. you with heat stroke.
Well, you saw he was burned. Now you look good, man.
Thank you. Either way, it wasn't a great week for me. But yeah, it was fine. I have nothing to complain about. Do you want to go over the guest list, Kamar, so we can do what we do here?
Sure would. Finally, we got some ladies back in the... start off with 2090 Bobby Lee.
We finally got some ladies back.
followed on by 2091, a religious professor, Diana Walsh Posolka. Then we had 2092. I didn't realize she'd been on the podcast since he was at his house. Marianne Van Zeller. And then as if that wasn't enough, we finished the week off with 2093, Sober October Crew in January. But it's a long time overdue.
Yeah.
Suited up, no less.
Yes. Do you want to rate the week? Anyone? Bueller? This is a tough one to rate. That's a tough one to rate.
I give it a 3.
Yeah. It's funny. I want to go 3.5 because it feels like it has the recipe for a 3.5 or a 4. It just feels like... maybe someone left out an ingredient or didn't
or
cook
added,
it long enough.
Added in sure. too much Joe.
Sure, something like that. Yeah, I guess a 3 sounds about right.
I'll give it a 3 as well.
Look at that.
We have an agreement.
Look at that. Starting off fucking early. Starting off strong. All right, Kamar, let's fire it up.
Episode 2090, Bobby Lee.
No, I thought Simon said we wanted to do Palooka and then Bobby Lee.
Well, that's fine. We can do Bobby Lee.
Okay,
but
sure.
Really, like, succinct here. It's a nothing burger.
Yeah, but yeah. He's probably still got 50 notes.
Give
it doesn't
all
matter.
The time to Pasulka, no time to Bobby Lee.
Pasulka is the religious professor?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah.
Just for listeners, absolutely. This is all stuff that's supposed to be written in the margins.
She's an alien person. You wouldn't have known because of the way Joe hijacked the
we'll get into that
podcast.
But let's just stick with 2090 Bobby Lee. I want to preface this by saying I watched the ever controversial Impulsive, where Bobby Lee fully bullied George, like was a dick to him.
Yeah.
And made him quit the show.
Yeah.
And
well, you didn't make him quit the show, but he left the show.
It was a catalyst. And
yeah.
I don't love George Janko, but when you watch a podcast and it's been happening a lot, especially with Shawls or whatever, and everyone feels a way about someone's treated, I was like, because Bobby is usually with
Santino,
a headliner or someone above him, and the way he acts, like, it really, really bothered me as a 52-year-old man.
He's, it could have been good.
Out of pocket.
Because it had the makings of being very funny. Like, I don't know if you saw Bobby on Flagrant right around that same time where he gets into it with Akash. But that had that same, like, he was being, trying to assert his, like, veteranship.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because Akash is a little dinkus, you know what
it
I mean?
It works. And he's coming from the spot of power, but for him to flip, it just really put me off.
And so what does that have to do with, you're just saying in general, Bobby Lee has put you off since then? You've been put off by Bobby Lee since then?
No, just seeing how he treats one person and another person and enough of Bobby Lee. Like,
you want to know what turned me off about Bobby Lee?
Go on.
I watched this thing where some guy took all these clips and showed him on like these morning programs.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be morning programs that happen like around the same time.
Yeah. And he's just telling the same story.
And he does the exact same bits, like verbatim, word for word. It's so inauthentic.
But anyways, it seems like he is being
it
authentic.
It seems like he's so authentic.
Which is why he can be an actor.
It's very...
And I would argue with him that the reason why maybe Hollywood isn't chasing him down is because he shit his pants on Mad TV.
you
know that thing where they're talking about, well, you did stuff and that's why they don't touch you?
Yeah.
Because I remember him telling that story very solemnly on Marc Maron,
mm-hmm,
6-7 years ago. And it was his big, because that show was always not coming out of the closet, but Bare Your Soul, Mark Cries, whatever. And now that it's been told so many times, it's just a flippant story about, you know, his serious issues.
Did you see that? So Bobby Lee, they had David Spade on the podcast.
The best.
Did you see it?
I did not.
Anyways, so Bobby shows up an hour late to the podcast, and David Spade is so pissed, dude.
That's like great.
And so Santino had been there with Spade waiting, and those two just go off on Bobby. It's hilarious, man. If you want to see Bobby get put on his place.
How much do you think Jamie Vernon is worth? Well, they were just discussing Jamie does the work of,
he probably
other
makes
places.
$1 million a year, I would think. So he's probably worth at least like $5 million, $6 million.
$1 million a year, that's fair.
I don't think he makes $1 million a year, but I think he's got to get points at this point, right?
I would think so.
Like, you think he's more than just an employee, especially because Joe, you know, it's rare that your employer knows your value. And it feels like Joe really understands the value of Jamie. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%.
So I feel like maybe it's point. I don't know. He's not fucking struggling. I'll tell you that.
No, probably not. They did bring up...
And good for you, Jamie. Get that fucking bag, baby.
They did bring up Agent Orange, and Bobby tried to make an Agent Yellow joke. But it's crazy that the military went to those means, just defoliate the place.
Yeah.
We can't see these guys.
Yeah.
And who cares what the consequences of the chemicals? Who knows what else they would do or have done?
There's a new Band of Brothers that started on HBO.
Oh, it's already started?
Yeah, the first two episodes are out. It's fucking cool, man. It's planes.
Yeah.
But they're fighting the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pearl Harbor.
It's after Pearl Harbor. And it's crazy to watch. You know what I mean?
Really, eh?
Yeah.
I've been looking for something.
The first Band of Brothers was fucking incredible.
Are they fighting the Japanese? Maybe they're not fighting the Japanese now that I think about it. No, they're not.
Who would they be fighting?
They're fighting in Europe, I think. But the reason I got confused is because I watched Hacksaw Ridge.
I love war movies for some reason.
Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Where he ferries down all the people from the top of the mountain there. Like, in war just seems insane, dude. I couldn't even...
I heard the craziest story. Apparently, all these Japanese had been holding down this island during World War II. And I guess they had heard that the British were coming. They had broken through. And so all the Japanese started fleeing the island. The island is surrounded by... It's either crocodiles or alligators, whichever ones are more aggressive towards humans. And apparently 1,400 men got eaten by alligators that night.
Jesus. That's a crazy story.
What else you got, Kumar?
I'm just there talking about harsh jobs.
Let's also talk. It's interesting that this was his first time on the show. It had been floated so many times. We had heard Joe say a million times. And it felt like Bobby, like... It felt like he just came on as like an introduction to Joe, which is weird because they've known each other forever. But like even towards like,
I mean, that's why he came out of the gates the way he did, I guess.
Like even at the end of the episode, Bobby was like, oh no, I have stuff we could talk about. But like, I think 2.5 hours, this is a good episode. I'll come back and do this some other time. Like it also felt like he was like, now I'm part of the revolving Joe Rogan door now that I've been here.
Well, I think because he had something he really wanted to promote.
Yeah, that he was in a film, yeah.
No, the special. I think the special. But he's,
oh, yeah, he did have a special.
I think he announced I'm going to do a special. I don't know if it's in the can. But they just talked about harsh jobs, harsh sense of humor. And I was doing some work for a firefighter a couple weeks ago, and he knows I'm trying to do comedy. And I was saying, you guys probably say some wild stuff. And he said, every time, you know, a crash, a body, whenever they're driving away, they're always like, so... Would you? Which is just sort of speaking like, I don't know. You get it.
He just, you know that journalist that was like embedded with the fucking soldiers and then came back and got the chief
what's
fire?
What firehouse are they working on?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Didn't work out like I wanted it to. Season 5, episode 22.
As soon as they're done putting out the fire, they all just hail Hitler and then drive into the fucking kids' dorm room.
Season 5, episode 22 of Next Generation, Bobby said, was the greatest piece of sci-fi. And at first, when I first watched it, it was dog shit. But
that episode or?
That episode.
You rewatched it after him talking about it?
I don't think I ever watched it in my life till he mentioned it. And I went to.
And it's good?
It's an interesting concept.
It's interesting. You know what's interesting about television? Could you name your like favorite episode of a TV show ever?
I mean, some of the shows.
I'd have to watch more Next Generation to see how this would have stood out. Because I remember some stuff with the Borg that was crazy, which gets into AI. And this one had an interesting concept.
Like, I can tell you my favorite Seinfeld episode is the one where it's Kramerica. And he has the assistant, Darren. Because so much happens in that episode. Like,
hello.
Yeah, it's the stomach. It's George working for Play Now, where he's trying to break into his office. Tell him I'm in my office.
The best part of that episode is when Darren's like, Mr. Seinfeld then got up to go to the bathroom, at which point Mr. Costanza reached into his water glass, grabbed some ice
and
out
used
of it
his ice
to clean up.
And then Jerry just goes and spits the two fucking ice cubes back into the cup. Yeah, no, it's fucking hilarious.
Sopranos. I could tell you my favorite Sopranos
episode. The woman comes to talk to Kramer about Darren, and she's like, as far as I can tell, you just may not have a chicken.
Best Sopranos episode, The Pine Barrens.
It's not my favorite. I actually hate The Pine Barrens. It's really well done. I get why people like it. Mm-hmm. For me, watching it is like watching Uncut Gems. I don't want, it's way too much tension.
Okay.
You know, when they're freezing it has its moments for sure. But I find the whole thing with the Russians so infuriating. Like,
Paulie's on the phone with Tony, and Tony's like, He was with the interior minister. And then he gets off the phone and goes, apparently he's a Czechoslovakian interior designer. And Christopher goes, oh, really? His apartment looked like shit. I fucking, dude, that episode is hilarious.
That's so Buscemi, no, it's not strange someone remembering a favorite episode.
Buscemi directed that question. Episode, I think.
No, no, what I said was it's very rare. Like, it's rare for you
as
to...
As rare as you guys just
told. Well, no, we picked two series...
No, I bet you I could pick my favorite episode in a lot of shows, but it would just take some thinking, you know?
You know, hey, what? Now that you mentioned it, the best episode, one of the best episodes of television ever is the, what's the Walking, not the Walking Dead, what's the fucking zombie one? Last of Us. That episode with Ron Swanson.
You see, here again, like, I did not like it.
Wow.
Because he's about to paint his nails.
I did not like it. Not because it was a gay thing.
It
I
was
just,
a gay thing, for sure.
It wasn't. It could have been a guy and a girl in the same thing. They stopped the whole show to do this little fucking stupid interlude. Fuck you.
No, because he'll come back and whatever.
I think, for me, it was the episode of Breaking Bad, where they've got the lab underneath the...
yeah, underneath
the chicken place or wherever
the laundry.
And Gus comes in and walks in. No one says a word, puts on a suit. Someone's about to die. And then he kills
the Native American
person that you don't think he's going to kill. And now, in retrospect, I think the buildup of watching the episode before, like to get to that point, was the tension, but I thought it was good.
You know what's an amazing episode of Breaking Bad? It's in the first season, and this is how I knew it was going to be an amazing show. Mm-hmm. Kind of like in Game of Thrones, where they chop Ned Snow's head off, and you're just like,
oh, fuck,
this is going to be a great show. If you're willing to kill off your main character in the first two episodes. Yeah. No, but it was the one where he has 8-Ball, I think, in the basement. Yep. As a hostage.
Yep.
And then he takes the plate up and there's one piece missing from the plate. And then he realizes he has to kill him. Like, fuck, man. That was incredible.
The episode after that's great too, because Walt says to Jesse, he's like, I killed him. You got to dispose of the body. And he's like, go to Home Depot and get specifically this container. And Jesse's like, yeah, whatever, dude. And then Walt comes back to the house and he's like, did you get the container? He's like, no, man, I figured out a better way. Like, I just threw him in the bathtub and put the acid in there. And you can see Walt like, you did what? And then just as he says that, like a piece of the ceiling falls in and he looks up and the whole fucking, it's just all acid and body comes down.
Yeah.
That show is criminally slept on.
Breaking Bad?
It's probably the best series of all
time. It's incredible. And Better Call Saul ended up being incredible as well.
Yep.
Snubbed.
The finale, like,
oh, Walt, when the brother-in-law is in the bathroom and finally realizes
Walt Whitman,
so that was so incredible.
Good.
That's one of those moments. Yeah. Like, anyways, sorry, go on with fucking Bobby Lee.
They were talking about, legendary Asian comedians and they left off Pat Morita. That was before their time.
Pat Morita, which one's he?
Mr. Miyagi.
He was a comedian prior to that.
I didn't know that, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
The more you know. I have a pen that you gave me that does the more you know. And it's one of those...
The more you know.
What are those pens called? And they have...
The floating pens?
A floating pen, yeah.
The more you know.
And a little star. Okay. Shoot.
Ronnie Chang is the best.
Yeah, he's such a dick.
Best Asian comedian, for sure.
Watching animals eat each other. That's harsh. I watched, they talked about it. Bobby's like,
we know they talked about it. It's the way you, it's like, it's like you've never been
you're
in a conversation.
To convince yourself.
It's almost like your chat GPT and this is the Turing test. Like you just say points and then you're like, did that flow well?
Okay. We got to wrap this up.
If yes, type Y. If no, type N. Like what the fuck, dude?
Oh my goodness. No, I watched a polar bear try to eat a walrus, but there are. The walruses are all touching each other, and there's got to be thousands of them. And it can just walk, like, the one can't get away because he's bumping other walruses, and it's really...
you can't feel sorry for the walrus because they throw themselves off cliffs. Like, they're so fucking
weird.
Stupid.
They are so... Or what if they're the smartest? I don't
know. No, they are definitely not the smartest. When you watch them throw themselves off the cliffs, you're just like, well, you don't deserve to live because even when you do live, you just fucking huck yourself off a cliff.
I mean, in a way, though, it's not that stupid. They're like, I could walk down for 14 days. or I could just roll my fat ass off.
None of them survive.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm sure one or two does.
It's not like it's a good probability.
No, I guarantee you one hits like a couple of fat guys on the way down. It's like
once there are enough.
That's what I'm saying. Once you get enough carcasses, yeah.
So the internet was talking about how. So I guess you call it Ukraine war, Israel Palestine war, election, COVID. These four topics, which would come up in every episode, and this was just you in a million years. If you said Bobby Lee and Joe are going to talk about these things, you say no, they're not, because Bobby Lee is just silly, and it's going to be like that.
The best was on 3x speed, like Joe's ranting and raving about COVID and the loss of freedoms and small businesses, and on 3x speed, Bobby's just like,
the internet will say Bobby tried to keep it fun and playful and joking, but I disagree. I think a couple instances Bobby brought it up.
Yeah, there was a time where Bobby was like, tell me your opinion on COVID, Joe. I'd like to hear it.
And, well, not literally.
But no, literally.
In any event, it's phony Bobby Lee. Phony Lee. He says, I don't care about this stuff. And then, anyways, those four things are always an annoying thing. We're going to try to not talk about them as much because they're just a given. The opinions that Joe has is, it's just repetitious. I don't know why you'd want to talk about it over and over and over again.
I've also noticed that Joe in his older age has become a lot more like stuck in his ways. There's no more. I don't think he's as open minded as when the show first started. Like you can tell. I can't remember what episode it is where they're. It's Bert in the sober. I know I'm jumping ahead, but Bert's talking about that famous chef Roy, whatever his name is, the Asian dude from L.A. And he's like, yeah, he was going to go vegan for a year just because he was like, I want to cleanse my palate of meat. And Joe was like, yeah, that's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard ever. And it's like, Joe, he's not saying he doesn't want people to eat meat. He's just saying as a chef, it might sound ridiculous to you, but like that was the kind of thing where I felt like 10 years ago, Joe would have been like, wow, interesting. He's going to clean his palate. But now the second someone says vegan, no meat, Joe's like, fuck that. Fuck you, pussy.
Yeah, it would be his demise if in 5 years he's vegan.
Joe?
Now I hunt cucumbers. I think comics want to act so they don't have to write. You work long enough, they hustle. And like Bobby's Lee Big Fear, he said out loud, is one of the reasons I didn't want to put out specials because doing it new stuff. Because Santino is in that movie. I don't know if you actually watched the trailer for the movie he promoted.
No,
Almost June, I think it's called. But it's Esther Pazitsky. She's a comedian.
Is
Bill
it
Burr's
her
in
movie?
It's, well, she's, it seems like she's a
well,
star.
Well, no, but she directed a television show, I believe.
I did not see the credits, but so it just, seems like her project because it's all about her, but a lot of comics in it.
I think it is her movie, but anyways.
And just lastly, at the end, Bobby was talking about being abused by, in movies and stuff. And I know, obviously, I bet he was totally abused by Pauly Shore and Mencia.
Oh, yeah.
Because he used to tour with them. So he's got some trauma.
Who was the director he was talking about?
Well, he didn't say the name, but then he did say Michael Bay grabbed my face and put in the light, which was interesting, not naming names, naming a name.
I think it was Joe that said Michael Bay. I don't think it was Bobby. I think Joe was the one who shoehorned Michael Bay's name in there. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Bobby kept all names out of his mouth.
I think he said one name because I wrote it down, but I could be wrong. But it's just another example of no one will talk about names, even after Cat Williams did it. And I think Dave Chappelle condemned Cat for doing that.
He did, really.
Well, just saying specifically going after black comedians.
You know? Oh, of all the people you could. Yeah, but in Cat's defense, like I don't think he hung out with enough white comedians to be like, this guy stole this from him.
Obviously like, wasn't the white comedians who were trying to ruin his career, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally in Cat's defense.
That would be hilarious. There's some white Jew comedian from New York doing all of Cat Williams' bits. It's that Krista Cronolite. they call it death.
His tour sold out, and maybe if Bobby stirred up the pot, I don't know. I really didn't like this episode because Bobby just rubbed me the wrong way.
I think that Bobby still has PTSD from that whole Mencia thing and doesn't want to be like, I don't think he was like happy when him and Schaub had that.
Well, he said it made him relapse.
Yeah. Like I think he really is like not interested in having people hate him.
No one is. But then he quoted what Mitzi said to him about being what makes a star is 50% of the people have to love you, 50% of the people have to hate you.
Yep, I think that sounds about right.
They both feed the same fire, but if people are indifferent, you're...
It's true.
Not different.
In closing, too, Kumar, you were talking about how they all want to be actors. I think it's like the turning of the tide over the last 10 years where you couldn't make a lot of money just doing stand-up. You have to be like... There was 1% of stand-up comedians that could make a living, a good living, off stand-up. Whereas now, because of podcasting and Joe Rogan...
If they want to make a good living, they have to tour a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of people come... I don't want to be an actor. I just love doing stand-up.
I'm also saying, though, if you went back 20 years ago, there weren't a lot of comedians doing massive tours. Whereas now, like, a comedian you've never heard of will sell out fucking 40 U.S. dates.
But I feel like Santino could do that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I bet he could.
If you could just do 12 theaters a year.
If I could do one theater a year, I'd be fucking ecstatic.
But what are you going to do the rest of the time? So anyways, I give this episode a 1.
It really wasn't a great episode. I'll give it a 1.5. I'm going to be a little more generous than you. It was Bobby's first time.
I'll give it a 2. It wasn't so horrible. I found him annoying.
When he starts screaming.
It is what it is.
It was just pretty boring.
It would have been fun if they had gotten into like a little bit of Brendan Schaub stuff or something. But
got into anything interesting. Anyway. All right, Kumar, move on.
2091, Diane Walsh Pulsker.
I was very, very excited when I saw this.
Do you know who she is before this?
Yeah, I've read her book.
No way. Yeah.
No, you had her book read to you.
American Cosmic. Oh. I had it read to me.
Take it away.
But I was super excited, and Joe just fucking hijacked this thing beyond belief.
Do you think she's not a really effective speaker?
No, I think she's at her best when she's giving like a lecture.
Oh yeah, it should have been just her.
We didn't need to hear, we know Joe's point of view. You know what I mean? Like, we know what Joe thinks. And he just, with the drugs, and then he gets stuck on these things. And then, like, do you want to hear her opinion or not? You know? No. I don't think he does. I think he wants to hear himself talk. And this just gave him an opportunity to talk a lot. And he's so well-versed, Joe. Like, he's so smart. But he just gets stuck, like... He couldn't get past the psychedelics. It was impossible that there could be another explanation. And I'm not saying it's not the psychedelics. I'm just like,
you just let's at least hear
the
talk.
Other fucking side, you know? She doesn't think that. I'm just telling you that. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't think, she thinks that experiences are exactly that. They're happening.
Mm-hmm.
Joe is convinced it's just our minds playing tricks on us. Anyways,
I wouldn't argue that way. If it's about the hallucinogenics, are these substances that can allow our mind to tap in to those experiences?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't think he thinks
I don't think he thinks the mind is just making it up. Yes, sure. Portal, lack of better words. There was an uncomfortable part where he's explaining the mortality key,
mm-hmm.
the beginning of religion to a religious professor. Do you know what? It was just unnecessary for him to be mansplaining this thing to her when she's getting cut off.
In his defense, a lot of the time these scholars come on and they haven't yet heard of... Joe feels like he's on the cutting edge a lot of the time where he has the people on that no one will talk to. So I think in his defense... You know, he's like, there's a good chance you haven't heard of Brian Mararescu or the, you know, that sort of thing. I'm just trying to toss the guy a bone here.
Oh, sorry to jump ahead, but when Van Zeller's like, oh, you think Epstein was up to no good?
Oh, yeah, that's fucking...
Anyways.
Did you see that clip I sent you?
Which one?
The one of Conan and Norm's writer.
No, I've not checked it yet. Sorry.
You're such a dick.
I am. But it was a great point where Joe starts off... All these abductions start at night. It's always at night. Always. Blah, blah, blah. She goes, well, actually, no, it isn't. It was just a breath of fresh air to hear a slight disagreement.
Well, it's just not. Like, that's the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, Joe, he just doesn't even know. He doesn't know.
Well, you can only know so much.
Well, again, it was so fine. But then you have this lady on
No, that I agree with. Listen.
He knows some things you don't know he knows.
Oh, don't do
this.
I
would contend. You would agree?
This fucking guy.
You think Joe is an open book?
Ergo, vis-a-vis.
Well, they were talking about Plato, Socrates. Talk about Plato as a wrestler. They use their brains.
That was interesting. They had this group that was like all these like really manly men.
Yeah.
And these were the guys
who were trying to
open up their third eye so they could get to a different plane of existence. It's fucking weird, man.
And recorded. She
what
talked.
Does that mean? And recorded.
There's records of it. Plato has writing. Socrates writings.
Gotcha.
It's not because she said at one point that all the classified stuff is all oral, and that oral information is actually more accurate than written. You remember talking about that?
I don't know if I buy that.
Well, we're jumping ahead into. Oh no, it's right here.
Well, I definitely believe that. Like,
it's called Pencils Up.
Yeah, I understand. It's ridiculous to me that there's like a room at the Vatican where they're like, okay, listen, come in. We're going to tell you this. We're telling you one time only. Remember it all. And this is going to be more accurate than if we had just written it down.
Well, this wasn't the Vatican. This was in America.
This
was at a base in America.
These guys even crazier.
Classified information. I mean, so there's top secret and then there's Pencil Up.
I mean, again, I'm not saying I don't. What's with the lips?
Oh, no.
Is it the Zim?
He's wearing lipstick.
I forgot
what
to
you
tell
mean?
You guys, three of my teeth fell out. I don't know why.
Fucking hilarious.
Took too long.
Anyway, go on. Yeah, Pencils Up. Sure. Probably exists. Everything probably exists.
Well, it's like interesting how we'll accept history because it's written down in a book, but we won't accept the history that comes out of the people who are still living in the places because what they're saying is crazy, right? There were giants, whatever it was. We dismiss that, but we take the white man's version of what happened in a place that they had no... they were recording a story as well. They just wrote it down and did a terrible job because what they wrote down wasn't true at all. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So I'm just saying, so maybe the oral traditions are the best way to do it because they're incorruptible.
No, they are corruptible still. Anyone can...
They're less corruptible because they don't necessarily have to be written by the winners.
Sure. But again, anyone can just say anything.
Yeah, but I mean, yes. But if we're going to take...
I mean, listen, first of all, the idea of a written record, none of it matters anyway. We as people like to see things. If you see a video of an event, you're like, oh, I saw it go down. I have some sort of, you know, I could read you could read all you want about the Civil War. It doesn't mean that you know that much about the Civil War, right?
Well, you know whatever you saw or you read.
Well, you know what you read, yeah, but it's like, you know. Listen, you and I could read a book.
But how do you want to see the Civil War? Like,
well, you can't.
Watch a movie about it?
No, but my point is we just go off written records. But at the same time, like, we don't know, like...
Well, and that's exactly my point. So, yeah.
But it's the same with oral. If I just was... Like, if your great-great-grandfather told your grandfather who told your dad about the Civil War, it's the same shit. It doesn't mean that, like, your oral history is...
No, but what I'm saying is this, okay? So let's just take the Civil War, for example.
Sure.
We have the records of what happened from the people who won the Civil War.
Yeah.
Maybe if you could get it from your great-great-granddad, who maybe was just an innocent bystander in the whole thing, he would tell you the truth of what happened as opposed to the blatant lie that you know is being written by the people who want you to believe it a certain way. That's all I'm saying. At least there's a chance. He may be wrong. He may lie to you, but at least there's a chance. You know that this written one is not accurate.
Sure. I'm just saying, anyone can write history their own way, whether it's oral or written. Like, you know, me and you could grow up in a village together and we pass on our oral history of what we think happened. And it doesn't mean that that's...
Nope.
What an outside person would say happened, right? It's all, everything is subjective.
I guess.
Well, no, I'm just saying the way we even experience history, like you and I, we could write in our history of what it was like to grow up in Ottawa, and it could be vastly different, despite the fact that we grew up at the same, you know, around the same time in the same place. It doesn't mean that either of us are wrong. We just experienced that time differently, I guess.
But all of us are influenced by generated public perception. That was one of her points.
Yes.
Like in your head, if I say Moses, you go back to something you saw. Well, you saw when you saw the Ten Commandments or whatever. You just have a Yul Brynner is the Egyptian king.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you imagine it, everything's been generated. So, but we think we're all just experiencing and contributing to the perception. But we have our own, and then another one is being put at us by CIA, government officials, for everything, including space program.
That was just so many words that didn't have,
space program. He threw space program in there.
Play it back. Just at the end.
She said the crashes were donations.
That's very interesting.
She's confirming.
That's very interesting.
Which seems sort of lazy, like delivering newspapers instead of just going and setting it down or whatever.
No, just that it was never a crash at all. It was...
No, I do love the idea because we have this superiority complex because we are like the top dogs. So for us, we're like, look at these fucking idiots, but they're crashing here. What, you're crashing? You know, like you came all this way and you crashed. And it does make more sense to be like, no, you fucking moron. We're trying to leave you these like...
Here's a bone.
Yeah. Because that is very interesting, Simon. You observe a place for hundreds of thousands of years and eventually you see... Hey, this organism has made like some serious leaps and bounds here. They're not going to get over this hump unless we, you know, give them a little something to maybe help because they're going to kill themselves like that.
Yeah. Or you go to later what they're talking about with the, are we here to be farmed? You know, that whole thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Where it could be they're raising us exactly the way they want to, sure. But you got to like, feed the hamster its oats to make it want to run in the wheel or whatever, you know?
I always like to look at it less nefarious, like.
But it also could just be a thing that, look, maybe they phased into existence and got hit by lightning. That is possible, you know, like some uncontrollable accident.
I mean, I also look, you know, what's funny is if you think about the way we are, there's a good chance that there's, if it is an alien federation, there's a good chance that there's two factions at work because that's the way we work as humans. We usually try to do some good and then someone comes in on the back end and rapes and pillages.
Yeah.
Right. So it could be both. It's like we're trying to make, we want them to mine all the gold, but we'd like them to live comfortably while doing it. You know what I mean? So like,
or yes, within the same faction for sure. Or it could be totally different.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it's like, yeah, sure.
I'm saying, yeah, you could have a good and an evil part of the Klingons, where some Klingons want to help and some Klingons want to hurt. But then you could have Vulcans who are...
Sure, just there to kill.
Just there to kill. Yeah. Like, who knows?
No, I get it. Kamar's tuned out.
But at the end of the day, of course it's conjecture. We're imagining what it could be. She's confirming there's foreign... technology that has been found on Earth.
Well, we know that already.
Did you know that already?
Well, didn't Bob Lazar say that? Like, haven't we been listening to
that? Well, no, and I've told you about Lazowski or whatever, Lakowski, whatever. He wrote that book with the permission of the U.S. government where they say, we have a UFO that we just learned how to get inside.
If what she says is true, if these aren't just talking points fed to her, fair.
Yeah.
Because... She said, I can't say everything because I'm an American and I care for national security, which I've always said is, I'm being totally honest, but.
Yeah.
For the children, national security.
Or there are just things that she can't say. If she says them, she'll lose the credibility she needs with the people who are feeding her the information.
You have heard of, she has said that there was metal that you can wrinkle up and it unwrinkles.
Yeah, we've heard all of this before.
You heard of
We had Jacques Vallée on, remember?
I don't remember if you talked about that. Do you remember them putting pieces of tin all over the area?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard this before. I don't know if we've heard it on Joe or...
Yes, I'm subscribed to a Patreon. But I've heard her talk
before. I'm pretty sure she wrote that in her book. Like the guy,
if you're a prepper, that's something you should do.
Put tinfoil everywhere. I think they're well ahead of you.
They put tin on the ground so that there'd be normal metals all along with the exotic metals, so you would never be able to see the difference.
What if you had a metal roof? Anyways. There was one problem, though. I guess the real guest is now Tyler.
Tyler is the guy we still don't know who he is.
Yeah,
don't know
she who called he is. Him Tyler
when I
he reminded her of Tyler Durden.
When I read or when I listened to that book the first time, we still didn't know who the other guy was. Not Tyler, but there's the guy she went with, her friend who works for the military.
Mm-hmm.
We now know who that is. You know, it's just interesting that that's come out during the time that her book's been written.
But I think she got cut off by Joe because she started talking about Tyler, who also is very physical, a big thinker, has 29 patents, is a multimillionaire, goes up into space, has experience with his materials. And she's talking about how he thinks about this sort of interdimensional or different plane. And she said, as a matter of fact, so did the people who started NASA.
What is it
called? NASA.
Yeah.
Which would be Wernher von Braun and the...
No, it was Jack Parsons and them. That's who he was talking about.
Okay. I did not know that. Still, I think she could have gotten a little more detail there maybe, but you probably know it all.
No, but I mean, that is cool, right? Like, think about that. The people who started our space program were like guys who were like super into the occult. It was... what's his name was friends with them, the fucking Scientology guy. Like, it was a real weird scene.
Would it be a lack of not knowing better, though? Or
a lack of not knowing better? What do you
mean? That mean you
more
know
technologies
better?
A lack and of knowledges, information has come out since then. So to dismiss what they thought was witchcraft or occult.
Well, I just don't think the American government at all wants to admit that there's anything to do with, like, these are little green men. That's what they want you to believe. This isn't a... I think it's probably more close to like a religious thing than it is to like a science thing. But we can't accept that from a logical point of view. That's why I feel like if we really knew what was going on, it would just shatter. I think that's what they're afraid of, that it'll shatter people's...
Everything's built on everything being
like
a certain way.
Maybe religious people will be able to accept it, but it'll be different than what they've been led in their religions to believe. So it's going to be different for the science people. It's going to be different for the religious people because it's going to put our whole... Like, imagine if you found out that, like, angels and demons were a real thing, that stories about like the Anunnaki, these giants living in ancient times, were that really was a thing. Like, that would fuck you up. That would fuck us all up, man.
You think that, but you probably believe that anyway, and it doesn't fuck
I do
you
believe
up.
That anyway,
but it doesn't fuck
but
you
I,
up.
I'm saying like a well it would look I believe in Bigfoot.
Yeah,
I believe that he or she exists.
Yeah, and it doesn't fuck you up one iota.
If they did really find Bigfoot, it would still fuck me up. Like, even though I'm a believer that, that like reality of the whole thing, it would still fuck me up, man.
That's so weird to me.
Aliens would still
it's
totally
so weird to me, though,
fuck me up.
You believe it 100% that Bigfoot exists,
yeah,
right? Like, you're 100, you're, there's no,
I couldn't be more certain of it.
There's like, yeah, there's no way I could prove to you that Bigfoot doesn't exist. That's an impossibility. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll see a video that seems so real to me, it fucks me up.
Okay.
Because it's scary. The fact that it does exist is scary.
That's so weird to me, though, that you are 100% in belief of something, but if it was proven
because
to be true, you would
never,
be fucked up by
you
it.
You never really believe anything until you see it with your eyes. You
That's
know?
What I was saying about the written
well,
versus
no,
the oral.
That is true. Your eyes. But that my point was written anything, that really isn't true or not. True is it's there in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could find a book about Egypt.
Yeah.
And how Egypt used to be.
Yeah.
It's not the same as seeing it for
of
yourself.
Of course.
Right?
I agree. Like, yeah. We have an agreement.
Anyways, go on, Kumar.
And so from Area 51, we go to the Vatican, And I guess, did you know the Vatican had a space observatory?
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Their telescope is called like Satan or something. It has some crazy evil name to it.
But it would make sense that they would have the resources and the want to control the skies.
Well, they are the remnants of the Roman Empire. The Catholic Church is just the Roman Empire. They have become that.
Like, yeah.
That's
like a grape became a raisin.
So when they burnt the Library of Alexandria and stole all the contents, that is now all in the basement of the Vatican. That Vatican library must be redonkulous.
And she also said they have quite the meteorite collection.
Well, I'm sure they had, this is what I'm saying. They were such looters.
I was just going to say, Kumar, when you steal stuff, it's a lot of, it's easy to collect it.
I wonder, again, in the advantage that they would have the resources to figure out the most about these things.
Like, I bet you any amount of money that the proof for our eyes is in the basement of the Vatican. They have things that would categorically show us what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, no, it's, and people don't know about it. I was just to dial back. I asked a 13-year-old if he thought we went to the moon, and he replied to me like I was retarded.
He didn't even know we went to the moon?
No, he's like, yeah. Like, as if you could even ask that question.
Well, everybody, I thought that
for sure.
5 years for ago. Sure. Like, until you actually look into it.
You didn't at any time when you're young, like, did they? You weren't amazed by it, just of course.
We believed every fucking thing they fed us.
Well, what I said to him, I said, you believed in Santa Claus once, so you could believe in anything. He goes, yeah, but I was just a kid. I thought it was an interesting exchange. So
I gave him a cigarette and sent him on his way.
The pineal gland looks like a pine cone, and the pine cone is very, there's some significance to the pine cone.
Well, the pine cone is very interesting.
Which makes sense.
Because you see there's this specific like bird creature guy, and he's holding a pine cone and a purse. It's like an Anunnaki figure. It's got wings. I'll show it to you. You've seen them before. I'm telling you, you've seen them before. But when you go to like different, actually, I think I have a picture of it.
I think it's my screensaver now that you mention it.
You'll go to like different cultures, like Egyptian or Sumerian, and then a totally different one in like South America.
They all have the devil with the purse.
And they all have this goddamn purse and this goddamn pine cone and this bird-looking creature. And you're like, this doesn't make any sense that it would be that close.
Are they different civilizations that wouldn't know each other?
Yeah, totally across the world from each other.
That's why it's the most interesting.
Well, yes and no, though. If you take a DMT trip.
And you'll always see a pine cone.
No. But what I'm saying is if you found DMT today and you did it, you'd see the fucking things that you see, right? Those, whatever you described. If someone did it.
Sorry, go ahead.
If someone over in Europe did it, Kumar, they would see the same thing. It's, you know what I mean? It could just be the same thing. They're all seeing the same. Go ahead, show it.
So this is Ecuador on the left and Mesopotamia on the right. Totally different sides of the world, different times, different cultures. Engraving almost the exact same thing.
The pine cone.
I don't know what it is, but there's something about having your nails painted that makes everything you do look extra gay. Like the way he grabbed the phone, the way he touched the screen, it all seemed very effeminate. And like, dude, it's wild. I never picked up on it.
I've had a transformation.
Yeah.
You hate watching me drink.
Oh, I mean, I hate watching you do anything right now.
So yeah, the pineal gland, pine cone. Very interesting. She contended, she's not sure if they're aliens, demons, angels, but they've always been here.
Well, that's what I was going to mention earlier, is whatever it is that's here, whatever this is, it's been going on for a super long time.
It isn't just starting
to happen. And they haven't killed us. You know what I mean? They haven't blown us up. They haven't attacked us that we know of. So either they have no interest in hurting us at all, or we are 100% part of their zoo.
Sure.
That's a weird thing to think about, right? Is that we could just be, like Joe was saying, the cocoon, the caterpillar for this butterfly, and we're just here to evolve into whatever they need us to be for whatever reason.
And never know it.
Well, you would never know it. Maybe like your kids might know it, but.
The Shroud of Turin.
Yes.
Is the last cloth of Jesus.
Oh, that was a perfect example. So 10 days ago, 12 days ago, Joe was lambasting the Turin, the Shroud of Turin, saying how it was fake and bullshit and they had proved it wrong. Like.
Flip-flopper?
No, I'm just, he Flip didn't know. Flopper. This lady studies the Shroud of Turin, you know what I mean? Anyways.
No, I think I agree with you 100%. There's just too much mansplaining.
The Shroud of Turin is an imprint on a piece of cloth that they have no idea how it was imprinted on there. It's like it was burned in like a photograph. And it looks like, you've never seen it before?
I think I have, but it just looks like a dirty rag.
No, it looks like there's the outline of a guy lying on it.
A dirty rag.
Okay.
Did you know, I hope this is true, that Trump has a perfect 24 karat gold Ark of the Covenant in Mar-a-Lago?
Why?
Is he like Indiana Jones?
Fuck, he's hilarious.
The Ark of the Covenant is...
the one from Indiana Jones, not the real one.
A lot of people think that it was some sort of like a nuclear device. And that's the reason why only the rabbis could go in and they would have to wear gloves and stuff because it was radioactive. It was like a bomb.
The real one.
Here, this is the Shroud of Turin.
I love that whenever someone asks Trump, what's with your mouth today? Oh, it's the fucking Zin. Never mind. Just keep it. I totally forgot.
So it looks like the imprint of a man. And when you look at his hands, it has like the stigmata.
And Joe is sure that is fake.
Well, now he's willing to look differently on it.
Don't fucking patronize people.
Chat. What do you think we should talk about now, chat? Have you seen that?
What?
I hate that.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do. Oh, unfortunately. You know when people are doing their like live streaming?
Yeah, like, yes.
They're talking directly to the people writing in the fucking chat.
What's crazy to me is that they get like $500 donations. That's it's all got to be a scam, right?
It's got to be a scam. Aiden Ross says he makes like $250,000 a week.
I know.
From the chat,
yeah.
Here's the thing. I can understand someone donating like $1, $2, that sort of thing to get their like super chat up. Because what's $2? And on a big enough scale, $2 at a time gets you $200,000. But like, it's like what I'm saying, like, $100, you're donating $100 to a rich person. It would be like if we each mailed Joe Rogan a $100 bill.
Why would anybody care, though? I never understood that. Why you would care if you're... The super chat goes so fast.
No. These guys have it so that like if you donate a certain amount of money, your thing comes up on the screen. Some of them have it where it'll read it. Right, so like that robot voice will come like, on and
I
be
guess
like,
I get
Kamar
it.
Kamar's nails look super effeminate, gay.
I guess I get it a little more where it's like squawk like a chicken and they'll get like Offset to squawk like a chicken. You know what I mean?
He will do that for $200?
No, not him, but there's one rapper one rapper that was doing that, man.
Oh, no,
like, Soulja Boy?
No, it was not Blueface.
Are you talking about the shit where it's like glizzy? That shit?
They're like doing whatever.
That's even crazier.
I don't even know. Who knows? I'm too old for this shit.
All I'm saying is it's crazy to me that like people are donating hundreds of dollars to a rich person. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Well, I'm sure a lot of it is super young kids who aren't even supposed to be donating first place.
Or is it a lot of rich people out there?
Especially when you're watching them dump $10,000 a hand on blackjack. Like I would be like, yeah, I'm going to save my $100. Thanks.
Oh, if you're watching celebrities.
Well, that's even crazier. Yeah. Here's a $100 donut.
They're making the money to gamble.
Fucking nuts.
They should be periodically sending it back to the chat. Maybe they do. So the aliens have always been here. And as Simon said, we should be optimistic because they haven't. They're clearly grooming us. Worst case scenario for some horrible end. But in the meantime, they've let us enjoy our lives, gamble, lose, win, love.
Well, when you hear
they own
about
the casinos, so
when you hear about like the space shuttle, astronauts seeing,
a light.
No, like ships out there. You know what I mean? That they're not allowed to talk about. Those ships are out there. You still made it to the moon, presumably, and did what you had to do. You know, they didn't stop you.
Have you seen the trailer? There's a it's I forgot what the name of the movie is, but it's a. The Americans and the Russians have to get to the space station first.
I think they fight in space. Film?
Yeah, it's a new movie that's coming out. I don't think they have to get there first. I think they're sharing the space station and then Russia
and
then go to war. So they start fighting each other on war.
But still, again, her underlying thing was that there's a lot of stuff that she thinks is real and imaginations. There's more than you think to it. But the media is curating everything.
Yes,
and this just seems another stir the pot movie almost.
Movie?
This film I just spoke of.
Oh, the fighting in space?
Builds animosity towards Russia. I mean, I guess there's no one else you could do it. And then they tried to play music from space.
Yeah, the sound.
And it just sounded like noise.
Yeah.
Is it right? That we've heard there is no noise.
I think it might be one of those things that you... It's soundless in space, and then all of a sudden you're hearing these two different tones, and they're saying it's music, but or maybe you have to be there to hear.
Even then, it could be the hum of the ship. You know what I mean? There's
the ship.
Well, isn't that where
it wasn't the hum of the ship? Listen, there was fucking weird shit going on up there. These astronauts, so many of them come back and have stories that you know they can't tell or don't tell until years later. I think it's pretty safe to say that we don't know shit about shit.
Sure.
And any information we're being fed about the little bit of exploring that we have been able to do is not the truth.
Okay, Mulder.
No, I just like they're going to space. Okay. Presumably. Let's say
physically.
Let's say we are going to space. We're like able to explore our frontiers. They are not telling us 90% of what's going on out there. Why would they, you know, like, especially if it has to do with creatures who like America's whole thing is that they're protecting their citizens. That's what makes the government so important is that we're being protected. Everybody's government. And if you found out that like there were other things out there that could wipe you out with the snap of a finger, how important are these people protecting us?
Yeah,
when you do a DMT properly, as you're like blasting off, for lack of a better word, there is this sound that sounds like something stretching or expanding, if you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what that sound is, the music of space. That would make sense if it is expanding.
Maybe that's the like reality tearing.
It's some sort of like I've done it more than once and it's been the
What's
same sound.
The sound?
I don't like a balloon. It sounds like something's gonna pop or break, like yeah, sort of like that.
Interesting. And then it explodes.
No, and then it goes into the most soothing noise you've ever heard, and I feel like it's. You can hear your heart and your blood flow, some sort of rhythm. That's why I imagine it is. So, and then she...
Some sort of rhythm.
She contended that the stuff is classified for a good reason. Classified information is good for reason, and I don't believe that. So that, like, it just left a bitter taste in my mouth.
Left a bitter taste in my mouth.
At the end of all this, she could just be a company player.
Yeah, I don't think she is. I mean, I could be wrong. But I don't think she's a company player. I think she's out there on her own fucking journey. The big question is how many of these people just end up getting infiltrated, you know, just fed wrong information on purpose.
Well, she was boots on the ground. So, I mean, you could still give someone wrong information with boots on the ground.
Yeah, but when you
that
see
whole thing
like those.
They took her to could have been a total plant.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Vatican, not so much.
Yeah, why her?
Well, because we know that the U.S. government will go to no length to stop lying. right? Like they'll infiltrate a small group in the middle of Oregon that meet once a week just in case there's a terrorist cell in there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So who's to say they wouldn't be like, oh, let's tell this lady there's pens up stuff that we just that we orally pass on and we'll give her some crumb. I mean, listen, you yourself have to admit that's more than possible.
Yeah, I just, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it is. Or she's the real deal and this is the kind of shit we're dealing with.
It's so funny because history can't be that. Like whenever you talk about history, he's like, no, it just can't be. Well, then you're like, well, maybe they could be lying to this woman. And he's like, I mean, they could be, but more likely than not, she's the real deal. This lady is upper management written all over her.
I don't think she's upper management, but she doesn't have a lot to do with the government. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know that.
No, you're right. I don't.
Just because you said, do you know what I'm saying, doesn't make it true.
Well.
I do know what you're saying, but she could be fucking, she could be NSA.
She could be. Joe could be too.
She's just there checking in on Joe. She's like, did he mention the 5 points?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? They're secret shopping Joe, the U.S. government. See if Mike Baker's been doing his job.
Anything they discuss you felt I didn't touch upon?
No, because most of this, there was so much more they could have talked
about. Okay, Joe.
And he just...
You didn't drop the ball, Joe did.
Got lost in psychedelics.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I give this a 4. Because there was no talk, there was not one rant. Well, there might have been a little of the media, but it was more of the CIA and the military industrial complex, which I can still listen to.
I give it a 3.
I will give it a 3.5.
All right, that is a half. We're going to take a break. We might pay a bill, and we'll be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Gang, let's face it, relationships can be difficult. Sometimes it takes a lot of work. Some are easier than others, but most good relationships take a lot of work. It takes years of dedication, and you have to be willing to grow and change with someone. And if you're not willing to do that, well, sometimes you can be in trouble. But if you are having trouble in a relationship, sometimes speaking with a therapist can be the best thing for you and for your partner. I know for me, speaking with a therapist has helped immensely in my relationship. It's definitely helped me realize that I don't always have to be right, don't have to get the last word. And sometimes that's the best thing for a relationship, just letting the other person be right, sometimes even if they're not. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit betterhelp.com/JREE today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/JREE. Thank you so much to them for sponsoring the show. We're back. I don't know if it's thank you to BetterHelp, but they sponsor most of the episodes. So thank you to BetterHelp, I guess. Kamar, can we get a name and a number?
This guest is brought to you by Patreon. 2092 Marianne Van Zeller.
She felt... I felt like she felt like it was a different experience to be on Joe's show now. Like, I think the first time she was on, and you could tell now, like, I've mentioned this, it seems now like we've all noticed that Joe is just talking a lot as opposed to having guests on to learn what they know and what they can bring to the table. He's almost trying to explain how the world works to everyone now. It felt like her first time on, he was really there to, like, ask her, you know. Like,
she's been on, like, 5 times.
Sure, yeah. Fine, whatever.
Which, that's what I mentioned off the top. I didn't realize she'd
the first one was so long.
His podcast was in his house.
My point, though, Simon, is it felt like every one of those, she was there to drop knowledge on like some sort of insane thing she had just covered and go in depth about it so that Joe could really take it all in. And now it's like, it's almost like the Coles notes. Like, what have you been working on? We did this, 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 and this. And then Joe goes into his sort of like, well, this is how I feel about the world right now. We are cocoons, yada, you know, January 6th. Plan like how he gets onto these topics sometimes is odd to me.
Yeah, I agree. He has things he wants to talk about, and no matter what they're talking about,
yeah, he'll shoehorn it in no matter like at the detriment of the show sometimes, it seems like. So I don't know.
So her big thing,
yeah,
it
reminds me of Bigfoot, kinda. You you know?
How you shoehorn him into everything? Yes, it does.
No, I have a shoehorn in there.
Her big thing was exposing the OxyContin Express.
That was how she got famous?
I think that's her big claim to fame. And now I was thinking about it. You remember that woman who would say, you got to read the book, Joe?
Yeah, the one with the sultry voice.
I think there may be some of her. We did this story, but if I tell you what the story is, you will watch it. Well, and yeah, want people to go to Hulu.
She wants people to watch her show.
She may be aware of that in her defense of that's the way it's done.
Well, that is a tough thing about the world we live in now is like you're there to push your show. You can't talk about your show in depth because you want people to go watch it naturally. But I also think it's one of those things like if you do a 7-part show, there's no reason you can't give us, you know, one of them.
But I mean, all the things she talked about are pretty like downers.
Yeah, yeah, not happy topics, yeah.
And then her bomb line is, no matter the worst people I've seen the humanity, mm-hmm. which I don't even know what that means, but I guess she's just the most biased person ever.
How so?
Well, she'll go to watch guys who kill each other, people who enslave other people, assassins.
It is crazy to think, like, when you think...
She's never, these are bad people.
When you think of an assassin, it's weird to think like there's just a dude walking around LA that'll just off anyone for $80K.
For $1,500, he said.
No, I thought she said it was 80. I'm certain when she was asking her friend.
Oh, no, sorry. That was in South Africa. It was $1,500.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think the guy in LA was $80K, but like, I don't know. In my head, I'm like, I could put together $80K if I really needed to. Like, it's just crazy that you could just have someone gone. And that there's just like someone walking amongst us. Like, dude, you could bump into someone at the, you know what I mean? You could accidentally elbow someone and, oh, that dude has killed like 15 people. Not to mention, forget serial killers, even operators. Like if you just think about the amount of people walking around that have probably killed like.
But they are by definition a serial killer. You think of a serial killer as doing it for a demon or whatever. It's a person who kills more than 4 people.
Yes, when you do it.
2 people, actually.
So, thank you, Simon.
Yeah, sorry. When you do it with a uniform on, yes, I don't think of you as a serial killer.
So she started off talking about gold mines in Niger, which again is like these guys get paid nothing but the money, the
gold. Is that how you pronounce it?
It's Niger.
Niger.
I've been saying it with a hard G all these
times. And then it was a harrowing experience because... The country was under a coup.
Yeah, which that must be insane.
Which is actually an interesting story, which I thought, but she didn't know anything about it. But it's still in the news now. Those 4 countries are all breaking free. There's a finite amount of gold on Earth. Sorry.
There's a movie, I can't remember what it is, but the premise is these people, I think they talked about it on Rogan actually, the people get stuck in this like military base and mm-hmm. they have like armed guards who protect them. And then the country gets taken over. So they're like, not sure if they're going to be safe or whatever. I don't know, something like that. But that just must be a weird feeling, you know, to all of a sudden just be caught up in this war that has nothing to do with you. But
yeah, but you can't leave.
You always think as long as I have the funds, I can get a plane ticket, I get a train out of here. Exactly.
But when your own government can't help you for whatever reason, just
fuck that.
Must be fucking weird.
I mean, I also can't imagine traveling to a country I know very little about to interview like a warlord or a fucking assassin or like it always fucks me up when like you see Andrew Callahan or one of these random YouTubers who's like, oh, today I'm going to Philadelphia to spend time in the ghetto. And they're like, they told me if I didn't have a person with me, I'd probably get killed. It's like, oh, why go? Like,
for the views.
Yeah, I get it.
A finite amount of gold on Earth.
Isn't there a finite amount of almost everything on Earth?
Yeah, I guess that. Yeah, that is capital.
It never occurred to me that there was so little gold, though.
And but so that, much water.
That makes sense. Like, of course, there's not a lot of it. That's what makes it valuable.
Yeah.
It's they didn't talk about De Beers and the diamonds. But
well,
I think
they mentioned the diamond cartels.
They did. But the fact that diamond engagement rings only exist because of the prop up.
Yeah. It was a marketing.
It wasn't like a tradition that went back centuries. It was,
and we learned from Joe that it works.
Yeah, well, his
like his wife was like, "Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I want the real thing." Like,
yeah, well, I feel like a chump with these earrings in.
The diamond ring to me,
it's so weird though. Think about what you're saying. What you're saying is like, I need these to be mined by a poor person for me to feel better about their value.
I guess I am saying that, so it's for the planet.
It's so weird to me too. The spending like 4 months' salary on a diamond ring or whatever it is. It's like spending so much money on your wedding. I'm just like, dude, just save that and buy fucking something that's going to last your lifetime, you know, with you and your wife. Like, buy a new car, buy a fucking house.
But they did such a good job
pissing it away
of demonstrating how it's an ultimate act of love, at least an engagement ring.
Yeah, but the point is, you could buy a $100 gold band that there's no difference.
You could.
Like, think about it, too. Think about it, too. Do you know how many people have bought $40,000 rings and then had their marriage dissolve after 2 years? Like,
that's just wild. That's probably why women want
it. It doesn't mean a fucking thing. Dude,
that's the best in Vanderpump, where it's James and he's breaking up with the stupid one.
Oh, Raquel, and she's like, I'm not going to give back.
She gives the ring. No, she gives the ring back. And he's like, oh, there's a Bitcoin.
Fucking hilarious.
She was unaware there were the nets around Foxconn. I thought that was suspicious.
Is that even true? Yeah. Like, I've heard Joe say that a million times. Oh, no, I've never, ever read anything about it. It seems to me like one of those propaganda stories that, like, gets published once in some magazine and Joe just regurgitates for the next 25 years.
So who would have posted this propaganda, just out of curiosity? Like, is it Apple?
Samsung, maybe? Like, who knows, man?
They make their fucking shit at the same factory. Like, what are you talking about?
Foxconn,
yeah. They're not just making Apple phones. They're fucking churning out whatever phone you need.
Anyways.
But you've heard about it outside of Joe Rogan.
Never. Only ever heard of it through Joe Rogan.
Let's get a lie detector.
Well, he only listens to Bigfoot podcasts. There's no Foxconn.
That's not true.
When she tells the story about how they kill 10 chimps to steal one baby as a gift, and zoos and exotic animals, it really is like another one of these blights.
I hate zoos.
Like getting the gold or the diamonds from a slave. Us still, I guess we're coming to terms with it, but it's been going on for a while that we felt that was all right to do.
Well, and the fact that like America has these laws that make it okay for guys like Doc Anhill to exist, you know?
You see the cat guy.
The tiger cat. Yeah, like just... That's what you're here for, to make sure this shit doesn't happen.
You shouldn't be able to buy a tiger.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be able to buy a tiger.
You shouldn't be.
No.
Outside of livestock, you shouldn't. Yeah.
Animals should almost be like national parks.
I think the idea, though, is that they're like, well, we don't have tigers here, so this way you can go to Texas and you can see a tiger. But you don't need to see a tiger.
Well, AI, virtual reality will solve the need.
Every city should have one zoo.
No zoos.
That zoo is ran by the government, and those animals are treated better than they could possibly be treated in the wild.
Federal zoos.
You know what I'm saying? Money goes in one per province, one per state, whatever it is, and that way your kid who will never get to Africa one day can see a lion, but that lion is treated better than it would be if it was free on its own.
And then
this bullshit that we pull them here and then treat them more. Like, that's crazy.
I just don't think we're capable of doing what you're saying, but I'm with you, sure.
I mean,
that sounds nice.
Could, but we just don't. Everything has to be for profit. Even the government has to be for profit.
No, the government is often at a loss.
I get it, but they're never like... they're never like, oh, well, we're going to have to fix Detroit. It's going to cost us a lot of money, but we'll just go into debt to do it. Instead, it's like, we'll go into debt to fight imaginary wars, and your taxes have to be enough to fix the potholes, and then there's nothing left for...
Mm-hmm. Well, your taxes fight those wars too, but not ours.
Well, our taxes do fight those wars.
Yeah, not on the level that theirs do, though.
No.
I'm just saying.
But I'm sure a big portion of what we give to the government every year goes to our military. We just are less people with a smaller military.
Yeah, but I bet a lot of it goes to healthcare.
Sure, but it's still, like, we still have fucking jets and tanks and all sorts of things. The money.
I agree. We buy ships.
We're just like everybody else where that tank goes.
There's a difference, though. We don't do the art. Like, first of all, they build all the stuff. They do the R&D. We buy used stuff off them, by and large.
We actually build a lot of things. We build a lot of planes.
That's because Bombardier is a Canadian company. My point remains that, like, the Canadian government isn't out building the brand new stealth bomber. They're just like, we'll buy your stealth bomber. Which is fine. I don't want us spending fucking trillions of dollars.
We don't even need a stealth bomber.
I agree. Well, don't worry about us, eh? We're just doing a quick old flyby.
We don't want you to know we're here.
Yeah, it's okay.
She talked about hash in a way. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know about hash. And I was like, lady, get me on the horn.
And she was, like, so proud that she smoked on camera for the first time. Like, dude.
It was weird.
We're in 2024.
Do you find hash gets you higher? They both, like, swore by that.
I find hash gets me
higher. Hash is the best. I stand by that.
But I don't like the high.
Like, Mary loves hash. We always add hash. Like, I'll throw a snake in the joint, but
But I'm positive that, like, smoking so much hash in grade 9 and 10 turned me off of hash forever.
But I would argue,
I also think it's the tobacco.
You were also smoking shitty hash.
Mm-hmm.
Really good hash now is really good.
That's not true. We had great hash back in the day.
Cheap hash.
Unless you're doing knives, though, like, you were probably smoking so much tobacco.
We got our hash off the same person you probably could get your hash off, and it was amazing hash.
Yeah, hash is amazing. Weed has to come before hash, though. They had that little chicken egg discussion.
Yes, of course. Well, there is no hash without fucking weed.
That's not even a chicken and an egg.
You can't have hash and make it into weed. You need one
for the other. You need oranges for orange juice. It didn't start with the orange juice.
Yeah.
Stupid thing to say. Did ChatGPT come up with that note?
She was talking about the LA assassin.
Yeah.
And how she was like, well, do you see how you're sort of ruining people's lives along the way? He's like, get the fuck out of here. Right? I didn't want to think about that. But in South Africa with the other hitmen, she asked him the same question. He was like, it was almost an intervention, which is, I guess, what her purpose is. Trying to make people think you can make a different decision.
I mean, it's weird to me to talk to an assassin and be like, have you ever thought about the fact that this affects other people? Like, really, you think this guy's never introspectively sat back once and been like, holy
sometimes,
shit.
Sometimes the obvious question is the best question, though. I mean, obviously it triggered him or something to end the interview, whereas with this other guy,
I wonder if that's
mentally unstable anyway.
A sociopathic thing where you don't think about that. You know, you're able to, like...
I would assume most hitmen assassins are sociopaths.
That's what I'm saying. And they probably never think about the people they're hurting.
When you hear about, like, those Pablo Escobar hitmen, those guys that just had like 150 bodies, like, for sure, those guys, I bet they slept like babies at night because it just wasn't.
Yeah, after.
I started watching that Griselda.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's, what's her name?
Yeah, it doesn't look like her at all.
Because she's Sophia so hot. Sophia Vergara. Yeah, she's so hot.
When you look at the real pictures of...
Griselda was so ugly.
Griselda Blanco.
So ugly.
No, what is that right?
Yeah, Blanco? Griselda Blanco, yeah.
Her boyfriends were doing it.
The quote at the beginning of it is so fucking good.
Yeah, the only man I was ever afraid of was a woman named Griselda Blanco.
Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, I finished it. Well, no, I love Narcos, all those stuff.
It's not as good as Narcos.
Whether it was good or bad.
No, Narcos is like the top.
No, this had like a little bit of corn to it, I found.
She then talked about hanging out with the Sicarios of the cartels, just railed off coke. But as she said, if you're in the company of the cartel, you're protected except from the cartel itself.
Dude, the fucking drugstore stuff she was talking about is crazy, dude. Yeah.
The counterfeit pharmaceuticals. Yeah,
that's so fuck, and that so many Americans go to
scary as shit, dude.
To Mexico to buy their drugs, and yeah, it's fucking crazy. So there's fentanyl in like legitimate medicine. Yeah. It's so fucking
well, it's not
nuts.
Legitimate medicine.
No, I know, but it has the exact yeah. If imagine you're an like, American coming over and you have a Viagra bottle and you're buying the bottle and everything is identical, you know, how are you to fucking possibly think that that isn't?
But what if you are lucky and you're just getting the calcium colored pill and it works as a
placebo? Well, the mind is a very strong thing.
That's what the cartel was counting on. Yeah. Like, just give them a sugar pill. Yeah. And we will actually do more good than a bad.
Placebo effect. Yeah.
It's the power of the mind.
Yeah. Americans are a very strong people.
She could not say any of the drugs that were like aspirin or anything like that. Tylenol. Something you would think of.
Because I don't think aspirin or Tylenol are the issue. Americans can get those.
What are you saying?
It was an amazing investigation. I think I was setting myself up to roast her, but I misread it.
I like that he's probably got like wait for applause break it's in his
pause.
Notes.
Yeah. half the world's economy is gray and black market.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. When I see how our cannabis works here, even legally, and your gray market is bigger than your white market, like, of course, that's...
I think 50% is a bit egregious. I think what she meant was like, because what she said after the fact... cleared it up a little more. She was like, I mean people doing cash transactions with no record of it. That's not necessarily the gray market to me.
It's a hundred. Oh, I see. It's just people breaking the law.
Not even. Like, if I sell you something on fucking Kijiji, that's not the gray market. I've just sold you something. I've sold you a good for cash.
That's sort of a gray market.
I mean, it's weird. It's a weird resale market.
All I'm saying is for her to say 50% of all goods on earth are sold through some sort of gray market. I don't know. I mean, Amazon sells.
Well, I guess I wonder if the skewed stat there is like places like
third
Africa
world countries.
Just
yes,
have so many people and operate off a much more crude system than
sure,
we do here.
But again, though, do you consider like this is that's what I'm asking?
No, so it is probably skewed. I would like to know not of the world of America. How much of
I think
America
that's a better yeah
is,
or North America. Yeah.
Sure, North America.
Because yeah, that was my point. Is like. I get that a lot of illicit stuff obviously is purchased on the black market, but like...
You don't think you can buy anything off the black market on Amazon? That's just an oxymoron?
Well, once it's sold on Amazon, that's officially not the black market, right? That's an open, regulated market.
You ever order something that's too good to be true and it's messed up? Like there was no quality control?
I mean, the worst part about Amazon is that every good product that exists, some Chinese company has made a knockoff shittier version of it, and you're probably going to buy that one because it's half the price. And then you'll complain.
About how shitty it is?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a recipe to go to business.
I've seen that a lot where like the company will post the review someone wrote, and they're like, no, you bought the shittier Amazon version. Like if you bought, you can't complain to us about the...
Well, that makes sense.
What do you mean? No, it's just because you know how like... A lot of people are known for that one product. Like, oh, yeah. We made the Snuggie. And then you order a Snuggle.
Yeah.
And it's made from like lambs, you know, whatever. Some shitty fucking...
It's made from human skin.
Yeah, precisely.
That was the... Are you going to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. It's coming up. But she talked about sextortion.
Yeah.
And how is some... She went... A kid killed himself. They found enough of the meta material. She went and ended up being in the Filipinos.
Did you say meta material?
Whatever. I'm just
metadata.
Metadata. Thank you. And found that it was this transgender. Well, no, maybe not the one in that particular case, but there's a group of people doing this extortion thing. And any nudes I send, I'm happy for my family to see. You know, I mean, you couldn't say that to me. We'll send this to everyone at your work.
Kumar has a handwritten "Hi, Mom" in every dick pic he sends. Is
love you.
I'm doing good.
And every time he masturbates, he holds up today's newspapers. You know that he's alive and well.
A gruesome story about them actually seeing the person kill themselves. That they were sextorting because they were saying, "I'll kill myself," but they didn't think. Actually, that was really dark. I shouldn't have brought that up. then she went into, you really think Epstein was sextorting people?
I told you that was, so that was the clip I sent you. It's Conan interviewing, I think I told you guys about it. It's Conan interviewing Norm, one of Norm's ex-writers. And the guy's like,
oh, yes.
He's like, Jeffrey Epstein? And
no,
he's
no,
like,
not the Jeff Epstein. Not yeah, the financier.
Not the financier yes, Jeff Epstein. It's fucking hilarious. He's like, yeah, Jeff Epstein. He's like, no, I would have heard about
you're
this.
You're insane.
He's like, I haven't even spoken to him on the phone for quite some time. And he goes, yes, you wouldn't speak to him because he's definitely dead. And then he's like, no, I'd have to get Ghislaine on the phone to find out she'd give me the real goods.
You mean the guy who has the island? I've been there just a million times.
It's so fucking funny. It's hilarious.
Touchdown.
Yeah, Taylor Swift's losing it.
It's like I said.
Every time I bet Kelce touchdown, he does nothing. And anytime I don't bet him, he's the first guy to touch the fucking ball on like the easiest route ever. Cunt. Wow, what a catch.
That's a great play.
It's a great catch.
And then, yeah, so it comes into, you have no say what happens to your body parts when you, if you decide you're organ donor or whatever.
Dude, I don't care if you turn me into a fucking basketball and play pickup ball with me. Like, I'm dead. It's weird, the whole...
That's a fucking great idea.
Yeah.
Turn people into basketball.
Well, if you make four basketballs out of me?
Your skull to your family that they could sell it or something?
Sure, it's whatever.
$5,000.
I always find it weird when people are like, this is what I want to have happen. Dude, you're dead. Your say is done. My mom has this laundry list of shit because she loves control. Like, the amount of shit that she wants at her funeral, so specific. I'm like, I'm not doing half of this.
You have no say what happens to your body parts.
You said that already.
Then they brought up the bodies exhibit.
Yeah.
Have you actually seen it?
Yeah.
I feel like your son has seen one. Have you seen it?
Nope. Nor would I want to.
I didn't know it was fucking prisoners, but yeah, in New York when I lived there. Yeah, I know, yeah.
Oh, it is here.
No.
It was here.
It comes on a tour.
Yeah.
Yes, but it did come here. It cost like $200.
Shut the front door.
No, it wasn't. Nothing's $200. Come on, get the fuck out of here.
Bert Kreischer is $200.
I'm going to whore for $200.
Joe thinks that it was all the people were murdered.
Yes, Joe believes.
Or a large percent of murders. Yeah. And he goes on about serial killer shit.
Well, no.
I've been three times.
It is fucking weird. They have to be there within 48 hours. They're all donated from like... Russia and China.
The people who put it on are weird.
The whole thing is fucking weird. And then you find out about the pregnant woman and the woman finding out about the affair. Like, that is fucking weird.
It's actually genius.
True,
dude, if you think about it, like, the mob, just think about some, like, hitman in the mob. Like, I got all these bodies piling up. What am I going to do? I got this weird neighbor. He's into embalming stuff, like... Maybe I just give them to him. He makes a fucking exhibit out of it. You know what I mean? Like, dude, next thing you know, you've made $100 million off your hits.
That could have been another season
of
The Sopranos.
If you really were a serial killer and you could figure out some way to, like, make all that money and hide your body, sounds like a win-win.
Could have been season 9 of Dexter.
Do you understand what they're doing in the process?
No, the plasticination or whatever the fuck they call it.
Because I mean, I YouTubed it and I saw everything he described.
I assume they put your body in some sort of hardening something.
That's what I thought, and then slice it real thin or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's what they do.
But whoever organized that is a sicked up person. Or are they making the world a better place?
No, it's super fucked up. Everything about it is super fucked up. And when they were talking about like making people fuck and shit, it started reminding me of like, have you ever seen Dinner for Schmucks?
No.
Yes.
And Steve Carell makes all those little mice, the taxidermy mice, into all these scenes where they're like ice cream men and all this weird shit. Like, that's what it feels like, you know? It's like weird taxidermy, serial killer taxidermy.
Hmm.
You've never seen Dinner for Schmucks?
No.
Interesting. It's Zach Galifianakis is a schmuck, isn't it?
No, Carell is the schmuck.
Oh, but Zach Galifianakis is in it?
Oh, yeah. He's another schmuck, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, you can always sell your organs.
I mean, Kumar, you were asking, like, are they fucked up? Clearly they are, but there's also people that do, like, I remember, like, a couple decades ago or 10 years ago, there was that guy that did the same thing where he took a body, hardened the whole thing, and then sliced, like, from head to toe, sliced, like, little one-inch thick
I saw that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that guy's probably doing that for science, not because he's some fucked up weirdo, right? Like, he's like, I can better understand. But yeah, the person that's like, let's put them in weird fuck positions.
I am imagining it was a technology they found. Oh, we could do this. Oh, we could do that. And so sort of.
What's weirder is that we all went and saw it.
I haven't gone and seen it.
Yeah, okay, you're a better person than me.
Is anybody watching the new True Detective?
Yep. You know what's funny, Simon, is I feel like so season one was that like sort of occult, supernatural, and it did super well, but I don't think it did super well because of the occult supernatural. I think that was a small part of it. I think it did so well because the performances.
Okay.
Season two was meh. Yeah. Season three was meh. And then they were like, okay, let's go back to the fucking supernatural occult thing.
This one is cool. I like it so
much. Jodie Foster is amazing.
Well, we'll find out.
You didn't watch it.
I didn't, but I can't remember something where Jodie Foster was like, she can't act.
I'm interested to see where this one goes, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's interesting so far, definitely.
Aliens, she had nothing to add.
Nope.
At all, wanted to see what Joe knew.
Nope. He asked her directly, and she said, no, I don't.
Well, that's not really her wheelhouse.
No, he just thought that maybe in all her travels, she would have
seen a couple of Sicarios, like,
seen a UFO. Hey, just so you know.
And then she told a weird story about a guy who's wrongly accused because he wanted to get some inheritance or something was working out, and he got caught with 5 kilograms of heroin, but it was in chocolate. Why would you ever carry 5 kilograms of
chocolate? And why were you carrying chocolate for someone? Like, the whole story didn't
make sense. Yeah, a chocolate bar, maybe about 5 kilograms of chocolate.
Yeah.
Seems legit to me.
I need you to carry 12 pounds of granola through the border. Don't ask. Yeah. Don't tell, you know?
It just didn't register.
Got all these bales of oregano for you.
Well, it's even harder to explain at customs. Sir, why do you have 5 kilograms of chocolate?
I don't know.
No one needs that much chocolate.
I really like baking. Pardon me.
I believe that was in Nigeria. And in Nigeria, mega means gullible person.
Which it kind of also means here.
It sort of does, yeah. Well, that was the joke they made. Wow.
You're hilarious.
I love when somebody goes to see the Super Bowl. It's the Baltimore Ravens against the fucking whoever. No, who are they playing?
Kansas City.
Kansas City, and he's wearing a Titans jersey. Like, just don't wear anything. Just wear a polo.
That's what I would do. I'd wear my Vikings. Yeah,
you're
for sure.
A douchebag.
I'm just here for the fucking for the laughs.
Yeah. I love the sport, but fuck your teams.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a chance that...
What is going on with
you? I'm dying, dude. I have so much phlegm in my head. I'm so sorry to all the listeners. I'm dying. Like, I can't.
No, you should have said I'm making an espresso. I think she might pass away in the field.
Oh, that's... Why would you even... What's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's so weird.
I made a call.
Okay. Well, she's on the clock.
She's on the clock.
Her life's on the clock. That's cool.
Boots on the ground, real reporter, journalist. I think that's all we've said before. I give it a 2.5.
You know what? I like her when she's on Rogan. I've tried to watch her show.
Doesn't cut it for
you. Doesn't work for me.
I'll give it a three. Fuck it.
I'll also give it a 3 and 0.25s. A 3 and a 0.25.
Okay. Come on, our next one. Have you ever noticed that everyone in these diaper commercials looks real amped? Like, I get it. You're happier. There's not
piss
and shit leak.
Dude, if I could piss my pants, I'd be stoked too. I can't wait, frankly.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm pissing my pants right now.
Go ahead, Kumar.
2093, the Sober October crew returns. Dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
Which made them look so ridiculous, especially Bert. Because he does look like one of those black and white. I left all my money at the bank. If I could borrow a marker.
Why is Joe so insufferable with Bert?
No. Bert is insufferable. Yes, what are you saying?
Yeah,
Joe's the only one who calls him on his bullshit.
Bert hasn't changed.
Oh, he has.
I disagree.
Oh, no,
he's always been
like
this.
He has changed so much.
Anything mentioned, Bert has to make it about himself.
Yeah, that's always been Bert.
Yeah, well, that's always been sort of a fault.
Yeah, but my point is like it didn't bother Joe in the early days when Joe was like, get off of the television and just become a stand-up comedian. It's almost like Joe is like Bert has always been this way and it never bothered him. But now he's like, Bert, will you shut up?
Well,
shut up.
I think it bothers Tom.
Shut up, Bert.
He probably gets the most of it. And I think they know you have to call him out on it for him to go, okay, I am doing that. And I don't need to do that right now. And I will return to doing that. The bad stuff on the internet is weird. Or are we lesser people because we don't send each other? You've never sent me anything harsh. It's just funny memes.
Don't watch that stuff. I have zero interest in watching people die.
Yeah, me too.
Anything like that. Is not how, like, no, not
it's
what?
It's a weird jerk-off
contest.
It's
a fucking weird thing to watch.
It's funny you mention it, Kamar, because my feed is mostly funny memes, funny shit, stuff like that, maybe sports.
Argo's got a feel.
And I still find the social media really depressing. So I can't imagine if my feed was filled with that shit, how much more depressing I would find it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I mean, these guys are super rich and famous. It must be easier to watch
it's true, yeah.
miserable yeah. shit when your life is so fucking amazing.
That's true. And like none of it's in your backyard. You're like, look at the poors killing themselves out there.
Speaking of poors, Tom has like been getting a lot of flack online.
Tom Segura
for his people, all his fans are saying he's changed. He did that huge rant on his show where I guess people wrote in saying when Tom shows his watches and his cars, it makes us feel bad because we're living paycheck to paycheck and he's out there flaunting his whatever, which whatever, it's a stupid way to look at it. But Tom went on, you've never seen this rant?
No.
Dude, he goes on and he's like, if you think like that, you're a fucking idiot. You're poor and you should focus on getting a job, and just does this whole like just slamming his fans. Those are his fans saying that. You know what I mean? Yeah. These aren't like trolls online looking to blast Tom Segura. These are like Segura fans saying this makes us feel away.
Whoa.
And then at the same time that he did that whole thing, he had just done, he had just had this incident at the airport with TSA baggage check or whatever, where they wanted him to check his bag. And he was like, do you know who the fuck I am? And he went on this like 3-day tirade where he was going and blasting this woman online, and it didn't go well for him. He scrubbed the whole month worth of Twitter from his feed. Hmm.
Interesting.
And then he was on your friend, what's his name the other day? YMH. What's the, not YMH.
That's your mom's house.
Yeah, sorry.
Lauren Compton.
No. Big guy got the plastic surgery. What's his fucking name?
I don't know.
Bobby Kelly.
Bobby Kelly. On Bobby Kelly's show, sorry. And it's a crazy clip, dude. You should all look it up. Bobby Kelly asked him, he's like, so you're a car guy. How many cars you have? And Tom like doesn't want to answer. And Bobby's like, are you okay? What is it, like more than 5? Is it more than 10? It is so fucking awkward, but he doesn't want to say how rich he is because he's just taking so much slack. He's probably got like 50 cars. You know what I mean? Anyways.
See, that's weird to me though. Like
I listened to that episode. I did enjoy it. That doesn't stand out to me.
I don't know. It's weird when someone gives you free content that you enjoy, that helps you get through the mundane bullshit of your life. And because of that, that person becomes successful and rich. You shouldn't then be like, you should want that for him. I'm happy for Tom.
What if he gets some pushback because he's making a lot of money by exploiting other people? For lack of a better word, because he just takes other people's clips and sells it.
About that. No, I think more the point is, Matt, is like people fucked with Bert Kreischer because he seemed like one of the guys. And then when you stop, it's like when you lose touch with your fan base.
I understand.
Like that happens.
No, I get it.
It happens to a lot of people, and you have to be like Joe Rogan enough about it to, you know what I mean? To remain that everyman, because that's where your bread is being buttered. And the second that you lose sight of that, that's where shit starts going bad for people, man.
All I'm saying is, as a fan, I think you need to be a little bit more, I don't think respectful is the word, but like, you want the people you're a fan of to see the fruits of their labor. You want them to be, you should at least want them to be successful. You should want them to enjoy.
I agree. But I guess now where we can watch everybody's life 24/7, it's like you don't need it thrown in your face all the time. Yeah, good for Tom and Bert that they're super rich, but just go ahead and be fucking funny. That's what got you here. You know what I mean? We don't need to watch you racing your cars. We don't need to watch you fucking showing us your watch. Like, just be funny. And guys who do that are like, it's the Logan Pauls of the world who don't have the being funny to fall back on. So they have to show us how rich they are. And these Aiden Rosses and these guys who don't have real content, they have content. Yeah. Just be fucking funny.
No, I agree. I
still like him. I get all the...
I'm not saying I don't like him, but I totally understand why he would rub people the wrong way. Bert is insufferable right now.
Well, Bert, but here's the thing.
And he's in great shape.
Here's the thing, though. Tom, it's been a while since Tom Segura has been on Joe's show. And I love Tom on Joe's show. I think he's a naturally really funny person. And, like, the topics he brings up are fun and brings the fun out of Joe.
Except then the last time he went on Joe Rogan, he was insufferable because all they talked about was fucking how rich they were and their workout schedule and this and that. That is not why people want to see Tom Segura. No, I agree. Yeah. So that's not why people watch Two Bears, One Cave.
I agree. Yeah.
And they got so far away from what made them fucking funny in the first place. Anyway, that's what I think. But it's not too late for them. They just go back to being fucking cool.
But what I always look at is I think Bill Burr and Bert had a show.
Yeah, and they had a huge fight.
And that seems like that'd be a home run.
Well, Bill Burr... Like, they made him go in on, like, a day a barbecue or something, and he quit the next day or something.
Say that again? They made Bill Burr what?
So, Bert was in the studio, and they called Burr up, and they were like, yo, we're interviewing this guy right now, and Bill's like, well, I'm at my barbecue, and I guess he went in anyways and was, like, a total dick to the guy they were interviewing, and then the podcast ended the next day, and he hasn't talked to Bert since.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So, I just think it's a model that... When you're shining, may get reflected because it's going to end one day. And I think there's a peak where just people get sick of anyone. Like, maybe not Taylor Swift. Maybe her fans won't turn on her. But for the most part, it's just a star shoots for a finite period of time.
I think if a comedian continues to be funny and keeps putting out funny content, people will continue to fuck with them. You don't have to become that. Like, I don't know when... The comedians became the actors, but it happened, you know, showing off their private jets and their this and that. That's not why people were watching comedians.
But
there's
no comedian that would be like, a theater tour would not be for me. I much prefer slumming out in these clubs.
That is not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying do your theater tour. You don't have to put out content 24/7 about the watches you're wearing.
You don't? No, at some point it changed, right? But he was putting out all this content when he didn't have the watches and stuff, and so it just became what they do. I mean, it's gross thinking of Bert having eight guys typing his social media.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Maybe there's three people, but...
It's crazy.
It is crazy, like, but they're very successful.
And they rent out these like full studio places, like when they could do it in a beautiful room in their house. You know what I'm saying?
I argue that they're broaching new ground and that others can learn from that. There's a limit. Like Louis's the best example because he doesn't shove anything down anyone's throat and thrives. So, and he's being funny. Chappelle as well. No social media presence.
I mean, Simon, I got to ask though, like, let's say this is never going to happen, but let's say our show started to take off and all of a sudden we're making a ton of fucking money. Like, would you not like improve the space we have? Would you not try to make it look like a better product? Would you not want to, like, you would just stay doing it the same?
No, I would, but I don't think you need seven people to run a fucking podcast. I don't, they're all doing is social media. Like, the whole thing is fucking gross, man.
Yeah, but that's also the age we are.
Business.
That's what I'm saying.
Business is gross.
Like, Simon, you wouldn't find it gross if we had, like, if our podcast was huge and we had seven people over there that were all taking care of merch, you would be like, that makes total sense, right? Like if we were selling enough merch where we needed seven people to...
I guess. Either way, it's a moot point because it wasn't my point. My point was that even if I got rich and famous,
yeah.
I wouldn't do content about me being rich and famous. We would just continue to do the podcast.
Fair enough.
And then on my own, I would be rich and famous.
Like I think about, there's these three Australian guys. I'm sure you've seen their videos too, Simon. They're called How Ridiculous. They drop stuff off high stuff.
Yeah.
You've definitely seen them. I think they're super popular because I'm sure, first of all, they're probably all so rich. They're one of the biggest YouTube channels in the world. It's just the three of them, small crew. They're probably so rich. I doubt you'd ever know it, which helps. And then the other thing is their content is always the same. It's just three buddies. They all get along really well. They all have fun personalities. Let's go out for the day and drop shit off something higher. I'm with you. Like if you just keep doing what got you to the dance, and you keep doing it well and trying, you should just continue.
And not be too realistic. Because Dude Perfect is probably the masters of... They're like a...
Those guys are rich as
they're
fuck.
They're like an entity. And it's I find them annoying because I know how rich they are, but they've got a good job of not flaunting it.
But that's the thing is, you still look at Dude Perfect. The thing about Dude Perfect that's great is it's like buying a lottery ticket. You still have that 1 minute while you're watching their video where you're like, oh, imagine if me and my friends could just spend the day like... trying to hit crazy putts or trying to like, that's part
of what got them to.
Yeah. That's part of it is like you as a viewer are like, fuck, I love spending time with my friends. It'd be great if I was a millionaire from doing chill shit.
And I think that was what made the podcast so successful is that everybody felt like they were there hanging out on the couch with their favorite comedian. When that comedian then becomes so far away from you, I get why you lose your fan base, which is exactly where we started in the first place with Tom. And he's losing his fan base, and he knows it now.
Maybe he's mindful of it, but like Mitzi said, half the people like you, half the people hate you.
But can I tell you why he's a genius? Is because he might have seen the writing on the wall, which is why he created this network, this massive network. Because like Two Bears, One Cave could go away tomorrow. Tom's still set. All those fucking people are under his umbrella. He sees money from all of it.
Yeah, apparently most of the money is made from two of those podcasts and everybody else is...
Well, good on him then.
Well, sure. Some of it's around. Yeah, but you also can't... You don't know that like, you know, Call Her Daddy wasn't always Call Her Daddy. It hit a fucking boiling point and then boom, now it's Call Her Daddy. Like there's nothing saying that that Lauren Compton's show tomorrow couldn't become huge or that the Sopranos kids couldn't... I don't know.
Have you guys seen Patch Adams?
I think so.
It's the JREE movie game. The time has come again. For Matt and Simon to rack their brains to guess the budget in the box office. We all know they won't guess the year, and the Patreons are the real winners here at the JREE movie game. Come on, take it away, baby.
It's the movie game where Matt and Simon go head to head to find out what year a movie came out, how much it cost to make, and how much it made at the box office. This week we're doing, to Simon's chagrin, Patch Adams.
Like this movie could have come out in 95 or it could have come out in 2008. I don't have a fucking, like, are you just throwing shit at the wall here, Simon? You have no basis for when this might have come out, do you?
I'm just trying to remember how old I was when it came out, but I really have no idea. But it's, anyways.
Starring Robin Williams, Monica Potter, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Bob Gunton, Daniel London, and Peter Coyote.
I mean, I have a year ready, Simon. This is total shot in the dark type shit.
I have a year as well.
What year?
You said my year, 1995.
Oh, that's what you picked? I picked 98.
Patch Adams came out on 1998.
Whoa. Shut up.
December 25th.
Wow. I'm alive.
It's a true story. And actually, I thought it was Awakenings with Robert De Niro and Rob Williams.
Awakenings. I don't even remember that one. I'm ready when you are, Simon. Let me know, buddy. Right.
I said it cost 18 and it made 69 million.
I said it cost 26.4 and it made 84.
Budget 90 million.
I'm sorry.
90?
I'm sorry. What?
I think that most of that's promotion, but that's the budget.
90. That's the most expensive movie ever made.
Hold 90 on. Million?
In 1995 or 1998.
Swear to God, somebody is stealing from me.
Okay, 90. That's fucking, I'm just so far off here. Go ahead.
Box office, $202 million.
Get the fuck out of town. In 98, this made $202 million?
Yeah, you guys didn't tell me what you said, though, so you can just win now.
No, I did. I said 26 oh, yeah, and 84. Yeah, I definitely, yeah. We were way the fuck off.
But you got the year, and that's a win.
No, it's not. Holy shit. Patch Adams.
It was between 50 and 90 million.
Yeah, and then whenever I see that, I do the high, and I know that that includes marketing, i.e. commercials that they play over.
Wait,
and
they
over
don't
again.
Even know how much the budget was? It said between 50 and 90? That's a pretty wide fucking... Someone was definitely stealing.
No, that's general. That's general.
That's wow. Like an. That's crazy.
That's a bad taste yeah, in everybody's mouth. That's the movie game.
I'm blown away by that. 90 million. Jesus. I swear to God, Elliot, someone is stealing from me.
Speaking of stealing, do you think you could? They got into talk about the Sacklers? Like, it's just too much money.
No, I have a conscience. I know.
You think you, if you were in the Sackler family, you'd be like, I'm out of here. I can't be a part of this.
The problem is that could you be a third cousin who's rich? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, could you be a grandson of the Sacklers who's never, you're not part of the family business? You
there's
just
some
grew
relation,
up.
Though, but no, you can't Bert take the money. That's the bottom line.
Bert made it seem like he could be one of the people making the decision.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, no,
to kill all the people. Yeah.
Yes.
And it also seemed like it wouldn't be a lot of money for Bird either. And I think
that's for him to be that guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I think we see that though, Simon. Like even in the Peter Berg one, like the guy that was like, no, 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 Weekend of Horrors, yes. Like they probably, compared to what they made, they paid him like 0.00000000001.
That might have been like more the whores than the money. They had like
maybe
pictures
yeah.
of them or something.
Maybe,
know?
Sure.
They honey trapped them.
I think the point being though is like it doesn't really cost a lot to buy people off. Like we're, you know, pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. $1 million is pretty much, just putting that out there.
You'd kill somebody for $1 million?
I don't think I could kill someone.
No, not kill someone. Could you sign a paper knowing that 10,000 people would die, but you're going to get $1 million? Potentially 10,000
yes,
people.
Yes, well, that's
my
question.
10,000 faceless people.
Yeah.
For $1 million.
Yeah.
$1 million.
Yes, I could do that now.
Yeah, see?
Right this second, yeah. You would sign a paper for $1 million, but 15 people were going to die. 15 babies were going to die.
Whatever you want.
Whatever I want,
well.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
I mean, I'm cold-hearted. Well. Babies make it easier for some reason.
It's the same what? People that... Well,
like, they haven't lived
we
anything.
We talked about a couple weeks ago that are able to hang out with the juice.
The juice?
The juice.
Like us. Oh, OJ. The juice. Oh.
Best brothers in sports, Peyton and Eli Manning, I think.
Kelce brothers.
Championships.
You're talking about the most successful?
They were talking, well, Bert was sure it was the Diaz brothers.
No, it's definitely
I mean,
Peyton.
I think you would have to
they
say
never won a belt,
two quarterbacks in the NFL, that's pretty...
well, both no, had, double champions.
Yeah.
Had both brothers won the belt in MMA, they could
I
be in
still
that conversation.
Don't think
but, no, but
first off, Eli Manning is the best quarterback that's ever played football in the NFL, period.
What? You mean Peyton?
No, I said Eli.
For his attempts to something?
Eli Manning has... Two Super Bowl rings yeah. against Tom Brady. He is 2-0.
Yeah, I know. But when you look at the way they won, look,
I don't care.
I'm a Giants fan.
I don't
fan.
Care.
He didn't
I don't
win
care.
Those games.
I don't
he
care.
Threw up prayers.
Yeah, and they were caught.
Somehow
yeah,
got caught.
Both of them were caught. I don't care. Listen, Tom Brady has what, 9 Super Bowl appearances? 12? I can't remember what the fucking number is. It's stupid dumb. He's 1-6. Eli Manning, 2-0 against Tom Brady.
That must be just the one B in Tom's
body. It's got to be.
Whenever they play pool or do anything.
It's got to be, dude. This one dude, yeah.
Then they got into some deep shit talking about the cost of war. Like, Tom specifically talked about his dad, talking about guys. He remembers every single day and just being exposed to that is just something.
Oh, yeah. Watching that Band of Brothers and like
the newest one.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, the whole thing with that is they're flying these the Flying Fortresses, those giant planes that drop the huge
tail gunners and shit.
The Americans were the only ones who did this. They would fly their missions during the day because they needed to be able to see exactly what they were dropping the bombs on.
Are you talking about like AC-130s?
I'm talking about the flying fortress.
I don't think they had those.
They had the gunner in the little bubble at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, the Brits would just fly at night, drop bombs at night. But when you watch them, like, that makes a huge difference because they can see you too, right? Yeah. So they're pretty much flying like into disaster every time. It's crazy, man. That mindset has got to be fucking crazy.
And a trauma that's been passed.
Yeah, and that like that shit never will go. I don't like. I get just from watching those shows, I get PTSD. Like I understand it. I don't get it. Like, but I get how you. How could you not come home and be totally fucked up?
And well, there's like people experience that today.
Yeah,
but it's like Russia, Ukraine, or Israel, Palestine.
I mean, I would assume, not to take away from anyone who's spent time in Iraq or any of that, but I would assume that, like, if you spent 4 years in the trenches in World War II, I can't imagine a worse thing for your mental state.
Yes, I was watching a clip from All's Quiet on the
Western Front.
Western Front, and they're just sitting there as this tank's coming for them, and you can see bodies caught up in the fences, and it's just death everywhere.
Like, Simon, what was the episode of Band of Brothers?
Humanity.
Where they're in the Bastogne or whatever, where they're in the fucking winter, sitting in the trenches for like 2 months straight, just waiting for almost certain death. It's fucking insane.
The whole thing was crazy. It's nuts. Man. And then you find out like the reasons they were fighting these wars, and you're like, this is just mental. Like when you look at World War I.
Yeah. Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah, it's fought because some guy got assassinated, some dude's cousin. Like it was all over nothing.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the accurate, history. Maybe something else, but that's the official story. Then they slid into, they started talking about way too fancy food, which
where they must lost have driven you crazy. Staff, yeah, or their fans, rather. their staff.
And then piss. Canada piss. I don't know if you ever had a Canada piss, but it's one of the best pisses of the...
Canada Day piss?
Canada piss if you're at a cake
what
party.
What is he saying?
Canada piss?
Taking a big
He's
old
saying
piss.
It's super Canadian there. Canada
big
piss.
Old, like, four beer piss. It's wild.
There's something to be said, too. You know when you have to piss, but you don't really know it? And like, then, until you piss, and then you piss, and you're like, holy
that's
shit.
It. That's
yeah, you're like,
piss.
You're like, oh my God, I didn't even realize how much fucking...
And usually that gets rid of any water that was in your body, and you become very drunk.
You know where I find that the worst is at poker, because you don't know that it's affecting your game.
Yes, or right? Listening
you,
here.
You're sitting there like agitated because you know you have to piss, but you don't really know. And you're like, just two more hands.
As you get older too, your bladder gets more
useless.
Sensitive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll be driving the car and I'll have to piss so bad where I like have to pull over.
Well, you've already admitted you want to wear diapers.
And just piss on like a fucking dumpster or something, you know? It's just...
You've already admitted you're excited for diapers.
I thought it was kind of interesting that when they got into the paparazzi discussion, Joe called the TMZ guys good guys.
Yeah. Said most of them.
Most, okay, fair enough. I would assume if ever I've seen a clip of that person is being annoying.
I've actually heard the same thing though, that Harvey, whatever his name is, who runs TMZ there. He's that guy who was on.
Harvey Levin.
That he's like a fair out of all of those dudes. He's pretty fair with the stuff he publishes. So
he's a lawyer, so he's very cautious about they're very litigious over at fucking TMZ. Keep in mind though, they're right. A lot of the people that the paparazzi follow, they want.
Oh yeah, they're calling the paparazzi. Like, what do you think Bert does?
The best is that clip that there was that old clip going around where it's Kanye West on Letterman and he's like, the paparazzi don't respect me and my family, and then it's a hard cut to a paparazzi at like 4 a.m. standing outside of Kanye's house. He goes, Kanye, how are you and the family? And he goes, shut the fuck up, motherfucker.
Calls it like he sees it. Then they get a good stint about radio reminiscing.
They're wrong, by the way. Patrice O'Neill made Opie and Anthony. Jim Norton was a huge part of it, but it was Jim and Patrice specifically together, in my opinion, that made Opie and Anthony the show it did. And the fact that those guys could all just drop in and they
but
were nobody.
Jim became like an actual part of the show. I don't think Patrice
No, I agree, but I'm telling you, if you talk to any serious ONA fucking fanatic and they will say Patrice all fucking day.
No, for sure. I think what they were getting at was like Norton being the comedian's comedian that he was made it easier for other guys to drop in.
Yeah.
Because Opie and Anthony on their own, I don't think would have gotten the same comedian interaction.
He gave them some balance.
He gave them, yeah.
And also what's great about that looking back now is such a different hierarchy.
Yeah.
They're all just working comics. None of them are like selling out stadiums and doing all this stuff. So it's...
Oh, it's really good because when Joe would be in there, he was just like backseat. He was just a little Italian guy in a leather jacket sitting in the background. He wasn't like, no one was kissing his ass. No one was like, this guy's empire is going to make and break comedians. It was just like, yeah, pipe in when you want there, short stuff. Like it, I love fucking, old O&A is my favorite to listen to. I fucking love that shit. When you think
about those factors, especially.
The Cult of Black Phillips, dude. Patrice O'Neill.
I didn't like Opie or Anthony. You know what I mean? Nope. That's
Opie was the worst.
Well, I always listen going, I don't get it. I don't get what makes these guys so, but you just have to always have it around. I thought for once and all in the suits, we'd have a dignified situation of forcing Bert on his movie.
Yeah, no, never going
to
happen.
We'll just shit on him. Get out. You made a pile of dog shit, buddy. Let's move on. But it didn't happen.
No.
They still hand out with kid gloves, which I was very
disappointed.
Did
they even
about.
Talk about his movie?
No, his no. movie has never.
Since, no, he since... talked about it when it came out. I asked Tom to read the reviews. And Tom said, oh, they're all right. It was just. Had Bert said, well, I thought it was funny, but it was horrible. Something. Mark Hamill can't act. Something. It would have just refreshed Bert for me so much. But
the fact that nobody, like Ari, never pokes fun at him about it, it's weird. It's almost like he's asked them
I
not
think
to
there's
talk
some
about it.
Hollywood entertainment. There's a weird sphere that you just never, everything's good, you're positive about.
Kamar might be right. Like you might, oh wow, that's bad.
That's
Kamar,
not a turnover.
Yeah, that's a turnover for sure. Kamar might be right too, where like if you start shitting on that movie, the producer of the movie takes it personally.
Just,
the director
just
takes
too
it
many
personally. Yeah, the
parts.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
Well, I really think we're witnessing it.
No, I agree with
and
you.
And that's why what Cat Williams did was so like you're at best. I'll tell you this after the show.
Yeah,
I'll tell you his name. So the conversation is going out there, but out in public.
There's so many gatekeepers too, and I know you're gonna say like Joe is above all that, but you never know, like. Those gatekeepers might be like, well, guess what, Joe? You just, now there's 2,000 people that are never going to go on your show because I'm going to tell them that if they go on your show, they're never going to work in Hollywood. Well, no, but I know that sounds
no,
crazy.
No, no, no,
but like,
I'm just, because I'm, have you ever seen the whole thing with Bert and Bobby Lee and the agents? So Bert would like invited Bobby Lee to go on his cruise or to do some show and Tim Dillon and somebody else and they all declined.
Is this the Israel trip?
No.
Because we yeah.
And then he finds out like they're doing a podcast together and he's like razzing Bobby. He's like, Bobby, you know, most people just said no, I can't do it. Not that I'd really like to do it, and then didn't do it. And then finally Bobby's like, don't you get it, man? Our agents hate each other. And it's all because of a thermostat. They used to work together and one like the office. And literally these two people blackball each other's agents from doing any work with the other agency.
Yeah, over some bullshit.
And Bert was like, you could see him. He's like, we have to stop the podcast right now. I have to phone my agent. I have to figure this out.
Yes, so that's
and
where
it like fucks the whole thing up, but he like realizes it right then.
That's where the fourth wall came down.
That's why Tim Dillon said no. That's why fucking Shane Gillis said no. That's why all these people said no, because his agent was kiboshing the whole thing.
And that's all I'm saying is they might be like, we're not saying anything bad about Bert's movie because you never know.
You may be right.
Say less, no more.
Sir Tom can't say anything bad. One, because it's Bert, and two, because
they're trying to work together on a new movie, Fat Astronauts.
Which who knows if that'll ever happen now? Because they were talking big about that when Bert's movie was supposed to do well.
He won't get greenlit again. You don't.
No, this is what I mean.
But that movie was terrible. Here's the other thing too: if it had bombed at the box office, but people loved it, that'd be another story.
Well, apparently, it did really well on Netflix.
Impossible.
Because it's free.
Yeah, still.
When things are free, people will watch it. But nobody's paying $10 or $20. Excuse me. Sorry.
That's
$10 or $20 to watch fucking Bert.
Another thing they talked about, which is very interesting, is how crazy it would be to be a Joe Rogan or a Tom Segura or a Taylor Swift, or if you met someone who didn't know who you were.
I don't know. What?
Famous people. Everywhere they go, everyone knows who they are. Yeah,
and then somebody doesn't.
If you just had a...
Well, I don't think Tom is famous. I don't think he's in that category at all.
Okay, sorry. I drop his name. But that must be
a weird thing.
No, something you sort of get addicted to. Like you would like, I wish I could just meet someone and not know who I was.
I think you'd be surprised how under the radar they actually go. Like Mary and I were walking through the airport and we saw David Duchovny and what's his wife's name? Tia
Leone.
Mm. Tia Leone. We saw them, the whole family just sitting there at a thing eating food and like no one was any the wiser. Now I was like, holy shit, that's David Duchovny. But I wonder how many people.
This was in LA?
No, this was at the airport in, where the fuck was it? Like Philly or somewhere. But the point is like.
Did you think of going to get a picture with him?
Fuck no, I'm not going to bother someone with his family. That's would insane.
He, I definitely would have gone and seen Fox.
Would people, if it was in the X-Files.
Oh, you're saying if he was still super relevant, would people have been like noticing him? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, David Duchovny and Tia Leone are not like super famous anymore.
No, I understand, but there's also something to be said. Like Taylor Swift rolls with a fucking entourage. So it's a little different to be like, she's kind of spottable from a mile away. What I'm saying is most like I bet if you saw Robert De Niro walking down the street, there's a good chance it would take you three looks to be like, holy fuck, that was Robert De Niro.
But again, if you met him, you'd be like, I know who you are. I know what you do. If you just met someone, I don't know you from stick. That must be a refreshing experience for super famous people.
I guess. I mean, the last famous person I approached was Justin Gaethje, and he was just walking towards me, and I just gave him the fist, like the pound, and said, congrats on your success. And that's all I would ever do. I'm never asking for a photo. If I was going to take a photo of someone, if I had my good camera, it would be awkward because I'd be like, can I take your photo sans me? And that would probably be fucking weird.
I saw Future at the Victoria Airport.
Yeah.
It was just him and a big bodyguard, and I saw him, and I went like this,
and the bodyguard went, yeah.
I saw either Tyrese or Ocho Cinco. I'm still not sure.
I couldn't tell you which one it was.
Were they in really good shape?
He was wearing a mink coat, so it was hard to tell.
Ocho sounds like Tyrese. Ocho Cinco would never buy a mink coat.
No.
He was so frugal. Eh?
It was Tyrese because I thought it was Ocho, remember? Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing in town? Like, why? There's no game here. Yeah. And then he said, oh, I'm here to meet about a movie. I was like, oh, wrong guy.
I watched a clip of Ocho Cinco, Terrell Owens, and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Actually,
Chad. Oh, that's who, Terrell Owens, not Ocho Cinco, sorry.
Chad didn't race, but they did a race where Tyreek Hill started like 10 yards behind.
And dusted
or 70 yard. Well, he didn't dust. He was behind. He caught up to him, but he did not dust.
Still 10 yards, dude. Terrell that's Owens. A fucking ton of extra yards.
But he's in his prime. Terrell Owens is like 44.
I get it. But still, the cheetah's fast as
the shape
fuck.
Terrell Owens was still in, though, it's insane.
Shannon Sharp,
another perfect example, yeah.
And then they talked about ancient civilizations.
And then they finished off talking about ancient civilizations, and Joe proposed the idea that there's just one fork in the road of development. He was suggesting combustion, whatever. Sonics went another way, and that the technologies could be far more advanced, but still not have something that we have today.
It was interesting when they were talking about Van Daniken,
the guy that Joe argued
chariots
with at the dinner.
Of the gods.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been the perfect opportunity to then have him on the show, but no such luck.
In Joe's defense, he probably tried to get him on. The guy said no, and he was like, I'll take dinner with you instead, and we can argue it out there. Like, at least I still get... Because you, Simon, like, if you had a podcast dedicated to Bigfoot or to...
I know what you're saying, and you still get an opportunity.
Yeah, you would be like, I'm still going to take it 100%. I'd rather record it, and, you know...
He must have really pissed him off, though, to not want to come on the podcast.
Maybe. I mean, again, we're forgetting, too, that he could have been just a big Vax guy and been like, I don't want to fucking... I'm not going to go on this guy's platform and give him...
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
The hottest person in the world is Tyler. That's what I have to say.
The hottest person in the world.
Tyler Durden.
Oh.
Is the most interesting person out there.
If you can get your hands on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, it's weird doing the Sober October and
January,
and they were drinking.
Yep.
Yeah, I just think it's weird that they still call them the Sober October Crew. Just call them what they are, you know?
Well, they're friends. That's what they are.
How many of us and have
they,
them?
They were there replaced.
Well, for Sober October.
By Parks, except for Ari, who's always there.
Yeah, Ari's the go-between, Ari's, the missing link. Yeah.
And Ari is the person that brought L.A. and New York together. They discussed that, too.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, I remember there was a animosity.
I love how there's like a. I love how they all have, like, it's so interesting how big Joe is in his orbit that Tom was discussing. Like, yeah, if we want to get someone on the show, there's like a real slick like go around that we have.
That was a little inside baseball. I enjoyed that as well.
I like that. Yeah, and just how he was like, I wanted to bring you Theo, but I told Theo he had to find you on it. Yeah, sorry, yeah. But yeah, how he was like, I wanted you to find him on his own so that it was more organic.
It's interesting, and they said they were trying to get Shane on all that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny when you go back and look at that first episode that Shane's on, where he tries to make that joke about, he was like, well, I just
thought you'd have knew me on.
I'd get on Joe Rogan and it would all go away. And Rogan like doesn't get it at all. He's like, that's funny, right?
Yeah.
Joe still doesn't get it. It was so brutal, man. But God to see him. How they're like best friends now is
the come up. Yeah. I give this one a 3.
I give it 3.5.
I will give it a 3.
Yeah, maybe 3.5. Yeah, fuck it. 3.5. Who gives a shit?
Okay, I like, well, then I give it a 3.5.
Time. There we go. Look at
that. We have an agreement.
Second of the fucking day. All right, gang, that's it. That's an episode. If you made it this far, thank you so much. Maybe you're willing to go one step further. We have a Patreon. If you want to support the show, you can do so for as little as $5 a month. Head over to patreon.com/JREEpodcast. For that $5, you get the post shows, the short show, we shoot the shit. You also get a bunch of old episodes where we did a bunch of fun stuff, whatever. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. And that's really it. I hope you all have a great week. I hope you enjoy your weekend. And as usual,
go Lions. Keep your eyes open.